What's up with you? Won't stop loving you. Why you want me to? What's the more to do? What's up with you? Won't stop loving you. Why you want me to? What's the more to do?
Tell me what your view is. She from Malibu, she wanna hang out with the cool kid.
You buff now, this all man, fam. I can just be buff.
One of my boys, yeah. He went to a house party. He was telling people they won ASIN, bro.
No, I don't.
My friend works in Reading, and the other day they thought he was Stormzy.
Yeah, but everyone thought I was Stormzy in York still. Not really, but they said I look like Stormzy.
That's mad. That's racism, bro.
Yeah, no. In Reddit, literally, it's only Reddit.
No,
like.
No, you say that, yeah. But how many like Chinese people do you think look alike?
That's different. They look alike, though.
It's true.
No, on the
that's
road,
a like, though.
They all look different to them. To them. To them, they
yeah,
all.
To them, yeah.
That, yeah, so to like white people in York, like raw.
But I feel like we have
different
Big Mac. Facial. We have different complexions and everything.
Everything.
Yeah, over there, they're all the same. Why have I got a lisp today? I didn't have this yesterday.
I went here yesterday.
It's a cycle. You've got to I noticed it at like 3 o'clock.
I haven't even had this before.
What was it? Calm at 2. And then at 3, it just came. Were you drinking? Are you drinking?
That is drugs.
I didn't have his lips.
I've never had this for my whole life. And it just came like just came. Three, I hope it goes like, when I wake up.
Wait, Harry, what are these pictures for, though?
For the gram.
You got a gram?
I'm going to have to proofread these pictures.
Proofread?
How can you have 3 episodes? You haven't got a gram yet.
I don't smile in pictures.
That's shocking.
Is it? I do, but I don't look at the camera.
Oh, the candid one.
Cool, we're
all
social media.
Have a good
one.
Cool. Oh, yeah, your tattoo. Oh, you
want to
see now?
Where is it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I mean,
from your phone. No.
Oh,
I'll show you on my body.
Whoa! Where is it on your body?
On her back.
Oh.
Not
her.
Let me see.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get it?
I want to see.
The man's good stuff, though.
Oh, that's nice. That's like artsy and shit. That's really nice.
It's not nude, guys.
It's nude,
you know, there's a microphone, you're saying the nipple showing that.
Oh, it's nice.
Yeah, it's
you're not cheating on your girlfriend, stuff. You can look at it.
It's a, no, because she. Oh, nice. I'm going to leave in the nipples bit for you.
Why?
I'm going to come with
the. I can't add to that, what do you mean?
I'm going to come with the USB and deliver it on Sunday at church, bro. What?
This guy's a shocking guy, you know.
You were joining them to come and cost me now. You're a miser now, bro. Let's see how you let him trade now, bro.
Do you say, I don't know what you say, because do you say diaspora or do you say diaspora?
This is an age old question.
He messes it up. He messes it up every single time.
I still don't know what it is.
Down in diaspora.
Diaspora.
I thought it was diaspora.
I just start saying the podcast.
No, Mark wasn't the art.
Yeah, welcome back to the art, because trying to pronounce it is a myth. I even tried to abbreviate. I tried to say DID.
That works though.
Yeah, welcome back to DID.
Why did you make a name that's hard to pronounce?
Ask him.
He made a name.
It's a good name, but
people were finding it funny with the gimmick.
Diaspora.
I still don't know.
No, Harry Rose, though. What?
What the?
Say it.
Brother, the different ways you can pronounce it is, do you want the American
pronunciation?
No, do you want the American pronunciation?
The British one.
The British one.
The British one is how Rutendo did it.
Is what?
How Rutendo did it on the drop.
Which Rutendo. Is?
Diaspora.
I want him to say
it.
Oh.
Diaspora.
Diaspora.
But because I can't speak English, I said diaspora, bro. It's called.
Down in diaspora.
So you made the name, but you can't say the name.
I can't say the name. I choose not to, bro.
Like, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's like when he sings, it's the same.
There we go.
Harry's an R&B singer.
There we go.
You need to be artist of the week.
A little melody.
Imagine drop
a little melody.
Yeah, you not dropped music. Like, you haven't dropped your own track yet.
You were going to. I don't know why you did
it. Like, I feel like we're leading up to it, though.
I had to retract it. I
feel like there's going to be like an anniversary episode.
I haven't deleted my SoundCloud, bro.
You
got SoundCloud?
Oh, wait, you put it on SoundCloud.
It's gone.
Oh, yeah, he did. Where was you guys?
Got some plays, though. Not bad.
For any of the listeners that don't understand, we're expecting an album.
Oh yeah, we're recording. Oh yeah, we're Harry's an R&B singer, a gospel R&B singer.
Love the guy. I was like though.
Yeah, I know. We just we're just talking, and then we're just gonna crop it to when it starts making sense.
Who wants to introduce it? Me or you? Don't know.
Oh, well, I can't say the name, so you better have
it. He can't say it either.
Welcome back to the podcast.
That's our name, though. You might as well say that.
You're mad.
Welcome back to... Listen, the thing with saying the name, yeah? They're literally looking at their phones, and they've got it on their phone. Why do they need to be...
Yeah, but what if they want to tell their friends, oh, this podcast...
Share
what's
the link.
The podcast?
Give the link.
No, share the link. You're not...
Say the name of your podcast.
Just screenshot and send it.
Say the name of your podcast, bro.
You're disrespectful to yourself.
Welcome back
you're
to
fired, bro.
Welcome back to welcome back to the podcast.
Give me that alcohol back, bro.
If you're not saying same, start saying the name of yours. I'm gonna start plugging the name of mine. So,
welcome back to Table for Five.
That's a good episode.
I listen. That's, yeah, someone write that down. Trademark it. Yeah, someone. Right, cool. But yeah, as you can hear, we've got some unfamiliar voices. Guys, you want to introduce yourselves?
My name's Harley. I also have a podcast called Table for Tea Podcast.
Just like
And I'm a guest here at Down in Diaspora.
Anything that's good. Anything that starts with D. Yeah.
I love how you didn't even say why you're here. You just said I have a podcast.
I don't know why I'm here.
Yeah, we bumped into in the corridor. I just said
I found that.
He literally,
bro, outside.
I mean, he's still in my DMs and here I am.
He's going to cut that out.
No, I'm not. I have the receipt. I have that.
He did.
Moses.
Money Mo.
Listen,
why do they call you that?
Money Mo. I don't know, you know. I really don't know what they call
Let him talk, I'll tell you what they call
now,
him.
Now, can I say, though, he's got a leather duffel bag.
Full of cash, bro.
He dropped it on my foot.
Yeah, and he wasn't letting go of it before. And when it dropped on the floor, he made it out fun. So I'm just saying.
Say what?
I'm just saying, like.
You don't dance now. You don't dance.
Go on,
say
why you're here, introduce yourself.
Anyway, I'm Moses. I'm founder of FTV, or Flow TV. Yeah, I'm here because Harry invited me to be here.
Alright, we're going to kick things off. This episode is about being creative. So we've invited someone who does like food blogging, a bit different from the norm, and then someone who's got a Neo Soul platform. We thought we'd do like a spotlight on people who have projects that are slightly different from what other people are doing outside. So our first topic today is going to be about the SPAC movement and drill gospel music. I put a link in the group chat to a drill song. Jonathan, what did you think about it?
Wait, what do I think about the tune? The tune's good.
The tune first,
they you know, they rhymed and stuff. But as far as whether there can be a gospel drill rap scene, like, let's define drill first of all.
I was gonna say
it's origins in like Chicago and like gun violence, gang violence. I mean, I'm not sure whether that could translate to the church. I'm not sure what testament that is. I'm not sure whether you can rap heard a bar about a Pyrex bowl, which is used to whip up, you know, some medicinal concoctions and that. And then he's saying he's whipping up the gospel in it. And I'm like, is that really a comparison you want to be using with the word of God?
But then where do you think hip hop and rap comes from? Because like, I'm a big fan of gospel rap.
Like, do you think, okay, so
like,
yeah, gospel rap
Governor
is...
Governor B, like literally going back, like I used to listen to like Governor B, Dwayne Triumph, like... I was like, gospel rap was my thing. And
I used to listen to gang music in church, bro. I can't lie to you.
No, but not in church.
You listen to gang music
like,
in church.
I used to, bro.
In what church, do you mean? Do you have headphones in? How?
No,
what do you mean?
I jumped on stage and started. Of course, I had headphones in, bro.
How do you have headphones in
That's
church?
That's so rude.
Ayo. I was like 10, bro.
Put that in the group chat.
Yeah, wait.
For your pastor.
Yeah, Moses and Harry go to the same church, so. Just relay this information. Wait, you had headphones in church. Did your mum not see you?
But I didn't used to listen to gospel rap music at church. Like, I had Christian friends.
Let's allow that. It's at 10, we all do silly things at, you know, these ages.
Come I was on. Listening to Hollow Man in church. I don't get it, man. But yeah, as far as the SPAC Nation movement, just while we're talking about the drill thing, they got a lot of criticism on the timeline and other social media platforms. I'm not sure what to make of it because on one hand, I understand that they're trying to, it's like a positive message and the people who listen to drill music are more likely to be the ones who, I don't know, need to be saved or the ones they're trying to reach to. So maybe that's a good way to reach out to them. It's a good... method of outreach, but I'm not sure.
I think it's completely like a little bit misaligned because like the gospel rap and stuff that I've listened to, say for example Governor B has a playlist on Spotify that he always updates and it's like clean rap and grime. It's not necessarily gospel, but it's clean and it's like that's okay. But the track that you sent round, he said something about I'm pissed and I was like whoa wait a minute,
this is hardly a profanity though. I mean it's
yeah, but in terms of it's not something that you
he had a balaclava
church.
In church
you wouldn't say that in church.
No, he said,
but he said on another song because he was cold.
I don't, what? Okay, wait, let me put my wine glass down. He had a balaclava, which is used for criminal activities.
No,
yeah.
Or keeping warm. I can understand the keeping warm thing.
Sam, is he skiing?
Yeah, but it's not his intention.
Cold in church. That's the truth. It's cold.
What do you mean? Wear a snood or something, or a scarf. Why are you wearing a balaclava?
No, but you're talking about the lyrics, though. You're talking about
It's the whole thing, though.
So
like,
if the lyrics were clean,
yeah,
and didn't have him, my man, saying that I had balaclava in church and whatnot, would you have a problem with it?
If he wasn't rapping what he's rapping, and I'll still think, why are you wearing a balaclava in church?
No, but if he didn't say that, if everything he was saying was clean, like Governor B,
yeah,
but it was still drill. Why are you laughing?
I think the tempo.
But it wouldn't be drill, though. It wouldn't be drill. But it wouldn't be drill music anymore, though.
But I don't know enough about drill. What makes
about the beat and then?
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I think it's the content.
Yeah, beat flow, not just the content.
You don't think it's the content?
You can have gospel grime. Why can't you have gospel drill?
Gospel rap. This is the song. That song was total. There was no like profanities or anything about stabbing or anything in that song.
You reckon?
Man's talking about saving souls
with the pirates in faith.
The only thing I didn't really like about it was that it was kind of talking about material wealth. But like stunting,
yeah,
and that.
That's
not really
supposed
to be talking about if you're a Christian. That's the only thing that I saw inside it.
And the songs that I have heard that I've liked, that have gospel, like rap or grime or hip hop, and they've had that kind of flow. It's been like on an Eminem stand vibe, where you're like telling a story of your past. You know what I mean? Like you're talking differently, not actually like being like, this is what I'm glorifying right now.
Yeah.
The message is misaligned, I think. The message is misaligned, but the genre is kind of misleading, because the same way with grime, like, everyone knows in London, you jump on it. Like, if it's not 140, if it's not BPM, 140 BPM, yeah. It's not gram. So then what makes drill drill? Because if it's a tempo, then yeah, any genre can have it. Any topic can have it, sorry. Any subject matter.
As far as UK drill, I literally think it's synonymous almost with crime. Okay, I want to say, yeah, I think it's synonymous with crime, really. And when, I know the balaclava thing, I appreciate your point about if the content was different, he's wearing the balaclava, would my opinion be different? But he is rapping on a drill beat, which I see all the time on YouTube, and they're rapping about what they're rapping about, and they're also wearing balaclavas. And I don't know if there's a place for that at church.
Who's UK drill? I'm asking.
Where did we start?
I don't really know.
You could start in North London or South London, depends where you want to go.
Wherever you want to go.
You talk about
okay,
your
right.
Heart spot.
Six, yeah.
Heart
spot, okay, yeah. All right, yeah.
Yeah,
See, if LD came to church and started rapping about Christ in that mask.
If I saw LD, I'm running, bro.
Right, so...
If I saw my church, bro.
You're not serious.
But it's so... It's the image
if LD came to church in a balaclava.
In that mask thing that he wears.
I'd have to... I think what's unique about Spack is like... I think they're all a similar age. So I'm sure there's an auntie or uncle in any church that will have a problem with you wearing a balaclava.
True. So what's Spack, by the way?
I don't know what it stands for. Just the name of the church. Really
Spack Nation?
What's that?
It's their church. That's what they call
it. It's the name of the church.
Oh, you gotta go to Spackman. Oh,
yeah.
That's Lizzie B's church, isn't it?
Whose church?
Lizzie B?
Yeah, Lizzie B.
She's an artist.
She goes there?
I think so. I might be
yeah, there's a few there. Famous...
They'll be name dropping and getting it wrong, you know?
Yeah.
So true, you know? Cut that out.
Yes, boss.
Okay. But like, one artist that I have to shout out because we're on the topic and he's a friend of mine is Marvelous. And like, he'll...
Oh my... Wait. No. You see Marvelous, yeah? I came across him last year. And listen, even if I show you my SoundCloud recent plays, yeah? He is cold.
And he'll... Like, he doesn't necessarily always...
Word. Yes.
Not always.
I mean,
but
the ones
made,
I heard
a lot,
this
yeah. It's grime. Well, he can do grime. Like, he can do
He is talented.
Grime.
Bro, there was a...
Marvelous.
There was a Marvelous. Set.
Yeah.
I'll find the name for it. The grime show with Sir Spyro.
Yeah.
And
he set.
Spun it. Oh, my word. And there was even another one on Rinse FM.
Oh, with Spyro?
Yeah, he's been doing a lot of radio.
He
though.
Is cold.
He just dropped, I think it was the second EP. The first one, the track that really, like, that I was a massive fan was Pattern and Pray.
Pattern Up Pray.
Yeah,
oh,
but it's interesting. That's
what we're talking about, though. That's still...
I'm not hearing Pyrex, but I'm not gonna lie.
No, but I'm saying, like, no, but as an artist, he's keeping his physical image, like, literally what you'll see of him matches the music. Like, yeah, he'll still wear a hoodie, yeah, he'll still wear sweats, yeah, like, he's a regular guy, but he's not trying to take it to this. He's not trying to, yeah, 100%.
But, that's a good point that you just made, but I'm not gonna lie, my biggest problem is the Pyrex bowl bar, because
I don't understand it.
Huh? Pyrex bowls are synonymous in any, like, even as far as back as I got baking soda, like, Pyrex bowls, yeah, I'm cooking in the kitchen is synonymous with whipping up drugs,
yeah.
And for you to say that, it's just those connotations
Wait,
should not
what's
be made
the lyrics? Say the lyrics. What's the lyrics?
FIFA and something in the Pirates ball down whipping at seven and both. Like that.
But the thing is, that's what they're trying to do though. They're trying to connect the street life and that kind of gang life.
They have to bridge the gap. They can't just come and
that's what they're trying to do. That's where the conflict for me is, because even when we did when I did further research and looked at their other tweets, they said, like, you know how many people we've saved off the roads and stuff. So what that like agrees with your point.
But then
are
the same people saying, like, when they do something wrong, that like this was the path God gave me.
Yeah. I don't
Is it like when they've done something wrong, is it they're saying like, yeah, we've saved people, but I'm asking, are they the same people that are then like I'm on the streets, this is the path God gave me?
Yeah.
But like, if you're 24 and you're the oldest person in your church, I have some concerns about this.
Yeah, like, I do think you need like some uncles.
Why is that?
Okay, at your church, could you go in a balaclava? And why not? Because I know
you
the
could
answer.
Get away with it in our church.
You could get away with it.
People look at
you. A man walked in.
But I don't think it's the balaclava thing. I think it's the whole thing. Everything adds up together. Like, you can walk in. You could walk in a balaclava, and then and sit down, listen to the word, and leave. But if you come in a balaclava, jump on stage, start chatting about forks and
Pyrex bar. Like, it's the Pyrex bar.
Then yeah, do you know what I mean? It's the.
If you walk into church at anything, like, church must be inclusive.
Inclusive,
place.
Exactly.
You can't say walk in and then, exactly, come as you want. You can't walk into church and be like, pastor's going to be like, no, you're wearing this, get out. Come on. Is that church?
Would you go, okay, can someone go to church in like a wild, like, very, very, very short skirt and like.
I've seen outfits.
They shouldn't do. But if it's the first time this person's coming to church, yeah, she'll come and she'll get corrected by whoever, the pastor.
That's
whoever.
My point, yeah. So
yeah,
they should be corrected with their balaclavas and that.
You can still do it.
Like, big man, you're not skiing, you're in church.
Wait, do you think at our church somebody would come through with a short skirt and they'll get patterned? I don't think they would.
Eventually, they'll get patterned.
In a way, there'll be I don't think it'll be like on a.
Someone will speak to him about it, of course.
In a polite way.
Pastor Chris was coming and he was saying.
Shout out to Pastor Chris. That's so much for the gospel.
Is he?
Izzy, yeah. I saw her the other day. I was on the tube. She chatted. She basically chatted. Oh, where are you going? Put it in the carriage, bro.
Izzy's a character. Hi, Izzy.
I'll take all of that out, bro.
Okay.
But yeah, I love with Izzy, because if you look at like rock predominantly isn't about gospel, but look what Hillsong have done with rock.
They haven't been like a concert, bro.
Exactly, but it saved. I'm sure they saved millions of lives.
I understand what you're saying. So we shouldn't nitpick.
So you can't really say genre specific. What are you doing?
You
can't even see it. Well.
Magic. So okay, so you're open to you're waiting to see how they progress with the drill thing.
Literally, they might make open a new scene.
Yeah, I hope I'm proved wrong at the end of the day.
I get why they're doing it.
It's a positive principle.
Appealing.
Yeah.
Maybe the delivery's a bit off, but they just started. So maybe like a year's time might be a bit different, maybe not.
Yeah, hopefully.
Maybe it's just that particular group of artists doesn't get it, but maybe if someone else takes it.
Yeah, maybe
like, not every grime artist has come out and been like, I'm a grime artist and actually even made grime. So maybe it's like, yeah. I definitely think we should give it a chance.
Song, so
but I wouldn't go that far, but
No. Okay, aside from gospel, it is a cold song.
It's a very cold song.
I liked it. I liked it.
They went back to back. Everyone like, oh.
Yeah. They were not. Yeah.
It was alright still.
Yeah, it was nice in my ears, man. Until I started listening to what they were saying.
I was on the Pirates ball. Like, you hate that bar,
innit? I hate that bar. I hate it.
You are now logged into the Down in Diaspora podcast.
Alright, so we're going to jump into our next topic. On the TL recently, I don't know if everyone got Twitter here.
Nope.
I don't have Twitter, but you know, you might catch me there.
I only have my
to ask questions.
My business Twitter.
Just say yes or no. You don't have Twitter. Okay. You have...
I have two accounts.
You really mean it. All right.
You're rude. You are very rude.
Go on.
Okay, so... There was a. It's weird. It's been ongoing for like the last like 10,
10 years.
15, 20 years. Like,
my
the whole
secondary school,
African versus Caribbean thing.
Yeah.
What I want to know is, is it a serious like rift?
Wait, can someone explain it to me? Because I don't have Twitter, so I don't know what's happening.
Wait, you went to school in London, though. You know what goes on, though.
Not really.
So, just listeners might not know.
So, for those who might not know, for some reason, Africa and the Caribbean just been at each other's necks for like the last. God knows how long, bro.
Since the
beginning of
time.
Nobody knows the actual reason.
Since
what
we
I know is,
I don't know,
the tables are turning a bit. We won't get into that team in too tough, but during school, the
it wasn't cool to be
the
African.
Caribbean used to give it to us during school, bro.
It were, and
then
yeah.
The bench came and saved us, bro.
No, but I think,
I don't know about that one, bro.
For context, where are you from?
Oh, I'm Jamaican.
Okay.
Oh. But shout out to the Jamaican dude. On a serious level, I think that our opinions on this topic like have grown with us. So I guarantee if you ask someone that's still at school, the Caribbeans are still on top. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think it's like a no, but it's what you just said. No, what you just said in terms of like at school, I feel like it's the mentality thing. So like right Definitely. Now in our peer group, mm-hmm. we've learned
There's more similarities than differences.
Yeah, we've learned that's not the case. So like even when you're younger and you're like Caribbeans would be denying. I mean, I'm a Jamaican that knows I'm from Africa. Like I'm not trying to.
Yeah.
So but when I was younger, I didn't know about that because I just didn't know about that because I was young. Do you know what I mean?
Carrying on from what you said from when we were younger. So as I said in the previous episode, I went to a school which was like 95% black, pretty much, and that was a debate: Africans versus Caribbeans all the time. And what you're saying about back in the day, Africans like getting a lot of shade thrown at us. It's even things like our names and stuff, yeah, where people would mock how many syllables, like how our name sounded, and like Jamaicans, like okay, we won't go into why their names are like that. They had like calm, like a Johnson or a yeah.
Like, but then exactly what you just said, and the name of this in terms of like the diaspora. Yeah. Like I had a complete opposite experience to you, where I went to a really small primary school, and the Africans, I had like it was literally probably split. Black people were split Caribbean to African, and there was a lot of Asians.
Yeah.
So in terms of like, I didn't really know that people were African because we were all just black together.
Yeah.
Like there weren't enough of us to split us.
To piggyback off that, yeah, a lot of African people were telling everyone they were Jamaican in secondary school.
No, but I'm talking about like primary school, like when I first kind of became aware of race, like and differences, and exactly what you just said. The Africans I had, like I'll name drop them now. The names were Vanessa. Like Jemmy.
No, I meant more like surnames.
I'm Harry. Like,
no, I meant more surnames.
No, but those are their first names. Even their surnames. Okay, all right. I don't want to bait out government names, but their names weren't the names that I then experienced in secondary school. 100%. I understand what you're saying about like names.
I don't want to bait people's like immigration practices out here, where people were changing names. To get
As in like, no, I'm not trying to say that, but I'm just saying that I didn't have that experience of that difference in primary school when these issues first came up.
It wasn't so bad in primary school. Everyone's like happy-go-lucky, like just moving.
Yeah, it was like year seven. No, year but eight. That's when you started.
Oh, you're Nigerian. No,
but like, they weren't there. Like when I got to year seven, and I was like, that's when I started to see people, and I was like, you're Nigerian. Like, what's that? Like, where's that? Like, that wasn't something that happened in primary school.
Yeah,
you know what it is. I can't like in my area. From
the same area. Yeah.
But like,
what area is that?
But like, I wasn't Dagenham. There when I was young though.
Dagenham.
Yeah, East Essex.
Yeah.
Whatever, man.
It's not really London, but
it's London. The London borough of Barking and Dagenham.
Oh, Redbridge, thank you.
I'm gonna say it's the London borough of Barking and Dagenham.
Okay, well done. Fast.
How's it? Anyway, let me just land in it. So what I'm saying, in my area, there was a lot of Jamaicans. In my school anyway. Like, I've only got one boy who's Jamaican. Shout out Leon. So like,
yeah,
he would be Leon, innit?
Yeah. I've only got one boy who's Jamaican. Everyone else is African. Even that Nigerian, only one of them is Zimbabwean. So
same, yes, it's opposite.
Same, because
you know what I'm saying. So like, we didn't really have that kind of Jamaican game to Africans. We was on top. Or Jamaicans, it was like you just there. Like
you might enjoy it. We got it, bro. Every day.
Nah, maybe the white.
So
people.
You're Nigerian.
Yeah, I'm Nigerian.
You say
you're
we?
Also,
okay,
you're,
wait.
I'm not Nigerian.
No, I'm Congolese. But listen, and Harry's already started smiling, and that's my next point. Harry's talking all this wee stuff. Like you speak French and that, but when when you're saying we as if it's we as in African, yeah, like it weren't you weren't we weren't together because like now I said I'm Congolese, you started laughing. And what was you saying before about my shoes in the cafe? So it weren't even a wee situation. Why was you laughing about my shoes?
I called him, and his shoes were clapping. I said, "What's that noise?" He's like, "Oh, I'm just walking down the stairs, bro. Your shoes."
First of all, listen, I had my
you're doing percussion in your foot.
I was at work and it had laminated flooring, yeah, and I was walking. And it sounded like I was galloping, and I was just walking, yeah. But seriously though, like what you're saying about we, even within Africans, there was a big divide. Like even West Africans, Nigerian versus Ghanaian.
Yeah,
I think it's just innate for us to all like
it's not though
go against each other.
The only divide is Nigerians and Ghanaians. That's the only divide in Africa. Everything else is simple.
Now anyone else can get smoked, I feel like.
I don't think so.
I've never seen a Ghanaian and Congolese even argue about.
I've never seen that personally, sorry.
I think what happened, okay.
It might batter you about your shoes.
I think it's how many that
might.
Okay,
big man, you know what I went through?
We'll banter you about your shoes.
Yeah, hey, don't say mine. Don't violate my struggle, fam.
It's not alligator then.
But not our generation. Oh, it's the old generation.
For the reason.
Are you going to wear them shoes that do this, that like, link up to your face?
That's the shoe that was making that noise, bro.
Now, when you're 25, like there's a ceremony, you just get like a... alligator.
You have to kill the alligator souls. Bro,
really?
Kick game cold.
Yeah, you're boring it. Yeah, so you don't. So you disagree. You don't think that it's just innate for people to just have conflicts within. Even we're all black, but even like
only Nigerian and Ghanaian. My opinion.
I'll be honest. Nigerians are the ones who do this. Who caused this problem?
Let's definitely.
We must argue about everything. It's the way it works. It's like, we all had parents, yeah. What was it? What was the narrative about Jamaican people?
Amojamu. That's what we call them.
What's that? Translate that.
It's like child of a Jamaican. Like just like.
That's you speaking Yoruba.
Child of Jamaican.
Yeah. Yeah, even one of my own friends says that to me.
Child.
No, what he said before.
What was it saying?
Jamaican.
Omo Jamu.
Omo Jamu.
Yeah, your parents are Jamaican. Like, just like.
That's a Jamaican. That look.
Jamaican. Like,
that is literally the voice she's as well. Were you all raised by the same people?
It's like,
that's what we do.
Like, the reason
I see
that
Jamaican. That's why. Yeah, that is exact
voice. Jamaican.
You don't think it's dangerous? Do you think it's dangerous though?
But no, hang on. Wait. Sorry.
It's not our generation. No, but what? It's the older one.
What are the phrases for all the other islands?
Everyone's Jamaican.
Exactly. Everyone's Jamaican.
And everyone's Nigerian.
Everyone's Jamaican.
Every Caribbean is Jamaican.
But
you can be DR, you can be.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter. You're Jamaican.
See?
Oh, it's mad that I can't name five. Wow.
What islands?
Alright, so boom.
Islands or like.
In the Caribbean.
Five Caribbean islands.
No, I could do that.
Wait, there were islands?
Jamaica.
Trinidad and Tobago. Is that two?
No.
One. Push it. Mad thing. St. Lucia.
Yeah.
Shout out to Lisa from primary school. Grenada.
Yeah.
Boom, raw.
Montserrat. That one.
Yeah.
The Cayman Barbados. Islands.
Cayman Islands isn't wrong.
I'm going to hear that.
Barbados, yeah.
Okay, come on.
St. Vincent.
And?
I don't know what the was.
How many are there?
There are two.
St. Kitts. St. Vincent.
Shout out to
Kitts. I told you that DR and Dominican Republic. Wait, no.
Dominican Republic.
Dominican Republic and Haiti share an island.
No, there's DR and there's something else. Like
there's Dominica and the Dominican Republic.
I didn't know until last week, you know.
Dominican Republic is where Cardi's from.
Yeah, shout out to Cardi, man. She's doing a lot right now, man.
I'm actually going to hear you.
Yeah, shout out to Cardi.
Anyway, see, and we're all of us together, Omojamo, yeah? Cool.
No. The thing,
we don't even like each other.
What I'm saying about it being dangerous, yeah? Because when, that context, we're laughing at that context changes completely when someone else says the same thing like, oh, those fucking Jamaicans. That's a whole other conversation now. Exactly.
That's the way life works, dude. We get all fragmented and stuff in between ourselves. But then when someone like launches an attack at black people, we still come together slightly. That's the way it is. Like in England, people from Liverpool and Manchester don't get along. But if someone says fuck English people, they're both going to be offended.
Except us.
But yeah, that Omar Jamal, that sentence you said, yeah, that's not stemming from Banzo. That's like a stereotype.
Oh, that's a real thing. Oh yeah.
Our generation is we don't have the issue.
They instill it in us.
We don't have the. Are you ever going to say somebody Omar Jamu? You're not going to say that, are you?
When you were growing up, could you bring like a Jamaican friend home?
My boy was Jamaican, I'm saying.
No, was he allowed in the house though?
Come on.
Was Leon allowed in?
Leon's in the crib all the time.
Shout out to Leon, man. Climb through the window and that.
I don't think any Jamaican person went into my house.
Huh?
I don't think a Jamaican person went in my house.
Because they weren't allowed or because.
I didn't have any Jamaican friends. I don't have any Jamaican friends.
You know what the funny thing is? You know what's worse?
Yeah.
White is worse.
White. Than Jamaican?
Yeah. If you're going to bring in. Well, actually, you know what?
But that's because they won't say auntie, innit?
So if you tell them to, they will.
And I know you're talking about because I know this started from a timeline topic, but did you see yesterday on the timeline we talked about bend the knee. So like I'm aware of that, like in a Nigerian household.
Wait, start again.
You're moving mad. You did what when you entered the room?
No. When you like to greet an elder.
Okay, Harry's in the live registration. I'm gonna do a podcast so people can't see you. So Harry went to
bend the knee.
Harry, do that slower. Do that slower for the podcast. Harry, do that slower.
Just bend down and like touch the ground.
Don't do that.
So Harry just bent down, put his hand on the carpet.
Females bend like that. Males don't do that.
Men bend.
Men don't do this. Like
with the hand like there.
Females like do like a little African curtsy.
When
females don't build ballet. They don't push straight. Females don't push straight.
A man. No,
yeah, a man. That's what I'm saying.
Like that.
That's what I'm saying.
A man, yeah.
Describe what you're doing, Harry, because they can't see you.
I'm not in the mic.
Yeah, what are you doing? Oh, yeah.
So what I was doing, the man will lean forward and like kind of touch the ground, and the girl does like a curtsy type
movement. No, what? When?
Yeah,
when
it's
when you enter a room, when you're greeting an older person.
You did that growing up every time you entered the room?
No.
Oh,
that's what the topic on the timeline was.
I did.
Wait, so every time you came to the living room, you touched the carpet?
Not my parents. But if I'm going to like my auntie's house and I mean uncle Ozzy,
I can't lie.
You do ballet, yeah.
We didn't do it grandmother, you know.
No, but oh, I'm saying, okay, but is that why white people would be different then? Because they wouldn't get that.
Like, I did. Yeah.
White people.
Don't feel your brain.
Do you think they wouldn't get that?
My friends, yeah.
No, white people, but they do all that stuff.
No, but in your house.
You don't see Uncle Jamie and stuff.
That's in the olden time, anyway.
Wait, so is this for elders or just for any guest?
Oh, the person of the house, elders. Though, no? Like if your mum is 40-something and you're doing it to your mum, like, the person of the house.
When I was growing up, we didn't really do it too tough. Like, we used to, like, when you shake an older person's hand, you might hold it with two hands.
Yeah.
Like, to shake the hand.
The thing is, because that's dangerous, because it's not about, like, what your family do, it's about what
their family, yeah, what they
do.
Expect.
So if you don't do it, it's like...
No, but you forget Nigeria.
You're disrespecting the
Nigeria's got 265 dialects. Everyone's different in Nigeria still.
That's why you always do it, to, you know, not get any issue.
So what was the issue with the town, that people were refusing to do it? Or
no, it just came up in terms of, like, do people still do this? Is it important? If your partner didn't understand that was part of your culture, would you expect them to do it? I think that's where it started. Yeah,
you just tell them. It's not a big deal.
But then if your partner wasn't gonna do it, like, is that a big deal?
I think your partner should do it. I think they should show enough respect for your culture. And if, yeah, it's bigger than both of you.
Can you imagine telling your girlfriend, oh, just do this little one thing, it takes 2 seconds, it's written to it.
Yeah, like, you could admit.
Huh? Would you tell your girlfriend?
Of course, I would.
You would? Okay, yeah.
She's gonna be like, yo, to mom, of course you got to, like.
Yeah, you could, like, no, honestly, because it's.
What people want.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, you're mad, you can find a new partner then. From time where I tell you, yeah, you have to do this.
Yeah, because that just, that's a red flag.
It's non-negotiable, like, you have to.
Yeah. It's different, I don't know.
I mean, we don't have any. We don't have any, like,
hand on the carpet.
Like,
it's not that deep, bro.
Like, it's not that deep, but
it's
like,
literally 1 second.
Like, it's just like this.
So you say hello and then you touch the ground.
It's the same as saying what, mate.
That being said, though, some parents want you to do the full.
What's the full?
The full nine.
Oh, there's a whole dance.
Your chest is touching the floor.
You say chest.
That's what I saw in the time.
You have to do a press up.
Both knees on the ground.
Wait, Harry, can you demonstrate?
Who?
It's your podcast, bro.
Man didn't do that.
No. What's he saying about chest on the ground?
Who?
Like, he's arrested.
He has to show you. I don't know.
Yeah, no. Like, describe it in detail.
Sorry.
Wait. So you put your chest on the ground.
I don't know what's on this floor. There might be some sort of.
But it's the same. Like, it's just a respectful thing. But it kind of just ties up to what you said about, like, white people would be worse, because it's a cultural thing. Like, in Thailand, it's the same thing. Where you put your thumb to your head when you meet someone, like, the lower your head is and the higher your thumbs are, is respectful. So if you meet someone in Thailand, you bow. But if it's, like, just boys, you'd just be like, okay, cool. But if you bump into, like, a monk or, like, someone's parent or whatever, your head should be low and your thumb should be high. So it's not like the same as touching the floor, but it's a cultural thing.
You're cultured, yeah, man. You travel.
We're gonna get into that.
like, you're in Thailand?
Yeah.
See, come on.
Like, shout out to the man that went to Thailand.
Like, you went with her, bro.
I didn't go, but I want to go one day, though.
But it's just a respectful thing that cultures have, that countries that still cultures might not recognise.
Yeah.
Oh, is that England? Is that what they do here?
Shuts.
If you don't like it, get out.
Send me. Brexit.
Okay, so I got a quick question for everyone, yeah? If your partner refused to, that doesn't really count for you, but if your partner refused to, like, bow in front of your parents, would it be game over?
Wait.
Like, how do you get past that? Would you, like...
Refused.
Like, say no, like, not yeah, like, forgot to do it, but you told her you need to do this, and she went, nah.
Where she had, like, where she was, like, wasn't just because she didn't feel like it, but she was like, oh, I think it encourages, like, patriarchal traditions. Why should I bow down to? What if it was that line of argument? What would you say?
If I'm saying bow down to my mum, it's not really patriarchal, but anyway.
If she was being rude about
no, but if
it,
it's just like,
yeah,
she just doesn't want
to
be
subs. A proper reason, we have to have a debate about it, like, and I'll probably win, but, like, it would be a real issue. So my parents don't like her. And the issue will
instantly.
Get, yeah, my parents won't like
it's
you.
Not a good first impression.
As long if you're in a relationship with somebody and your parents don't like the person, it's a bit long.
Yeah.
So it'll probably have to be a bit.
What about you? Is there a Jamaican, like, equivalent as far as tradition?
Not really. Not on like a greeting level. I mean, like, just respectfulness. Like,
yeah.
But then it depends as
I'm
well. Because
from
what
the jokes, yeah.
No, but I know what you're gonna get to. But, like, if you came to say, like, if it was you were coming into my grandparents' house, then, like, the way is that it would be Mrs. whoever. So I feel like, especially in African culture, it's very, like, relaxed. It's like, I can walk into my girl's house and be like, hi, auntie, that's it. Whereas if you were walking into my grandma, hello, Mrs. Campbell, hello, Mrs. Yeah.
That's what, see what I mean?
Or like in Caribbean as well, you, like you should really be saying like good evening. Like if you come in sometimes you'd be saying good morning and you should be saying good evening. Not hi, not hello. Yeah. Good evening, Mrs. Campbell.
It's little nuances. Like for me, I'd rather say like hello auntie and like do the thing than say,
no, that's funny though.
Then say good afternoon, Mrs.
But I'm saying my elder, like yeah, elder. So like, to me, to my parents though, they're like my, you can come say hi to my parents.
What do you do in Congo?
That's not an issue.
Huh?
What do you do in Congo?
Oh, we have a, okay, I'm bantering you lot, but we've got a mad one.
Yeah, that's
it. It's to do with like your forehead. Wait, so like
headbutt though.
Yeah, the headbutt. You know the headbutt one?
Oh, this is bad for you.
What? No, why is Congo taking so many L's, man? Yeah, no.
I was literally bad for
you. Wait. Okay, so I'm gonna do it to the mic, so I'm gonna try and describe what I'm doing. So when you shake hands, then your foreheads meet, and then you tap one side of the forehead like this, one. Then you tap the other side of the forehead, two. Like you're clearing a header, then three, and then, yeah, that's it.
Are you not getting on top? Well, we have to just point to the ground.
Okay, you know how the French like kiss the cheek? Like a few times.
What you headbutt them instead?
Yeah. Shout out to my uncle. He did it when I was five and just like,
knocked my nut, bro.
Yeah, I didn't go to school that Monday. But man. But yeah, we've got that tradition. And yeah, but it's not strict though.
Well, you know what's weird about all these little like traditions we have? To me, when I hear someone else, it sounds weird. But when you hear ours, it sounds weird as well. So when people, I meet certain people from other places in Europe, yeah, and they try to lick my cheek, I like move back. Like,
yeah, that happened to me at my staff party. Like a
what, this year?
French. Yeah. And I was like, yo, no. I didn't know what was happening.
Lips in his boss.
But it's the same, like, exactly what you just said. Like, European cultures have a lot of those things.
Yeah.
I'm gonna let that slide.
Yeah, we're editing that out.
European cultures that have culture have those things. Like
wait, bring that back. What do you mean that have culture?
As in like
elaborate.
English people just don't have culture. Like French have traditions. Like for example, my best friend's Greek, and it's exactly the same. Like it's
we
a double.
Take it there. We could take
a double
it there.
Kiss
forward
thing.
Your complaints to the table for two podcasts.
That's
who's
all,
Greek.
Who's Greek? I don't know. Who's Greek?
No, I said. My
there's some Greek listeners. Nah, baby, I got you. Nah.
Baby.
Nah, she's.
Hey,
who are you calling? Wait, I'm so confused. Wait, who's baby for you? I don't know what you're talking about.
What's in the slur, man? It was 0%.
That's so bad. Let's get a drink, you know. Wait, how can English people don't have no culture? That's a bit mad, you know.
No, we've heard that rhetoric before. Everyone says English.
I don't understand that. Everyone has culture.
I think they're saying a culture. I think their Western culture is more seen as like one, like. But I don't think it's accurate because if you even look at,
I think English culture
Eastern
is
Europe.
Too modern. That's the thing. But when I say culture, I mean like traditions, like long standing.
Now there's definitely like, traditions, like maybe not.
It's
like
a little thing. Go to the pub on Sunday with your friends.
Yeah.
Like you're a boy in it. That's England. That's England. But I don't
England.
Think.
Yeah,
oh, you're not
England.
Talking about Europe in general.
No.
Oh, just England.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sunday roast and that.
Sunday roast is amazing.
Yeah, but that's
the Sunday. Yeah, but Sunday roast ain't just an English thing though. There's, I don't think England has any culture that's exclusive to England. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, legit.
Like Yorkshire puddings and that. That's
Morris dancing, all that stuff there. You know what that is?
Morris dancing isn't England.
Yeah.
I thought it was Irish.
Cornwall, bro.
Cornwall. What's Irish then?
Irish is Irish dancing.
Oh,
that's a whole,
that
that's a whole
sense.
Another thing.
Yeah, would, Irish dancing would be from Ireland.
Yeah. But English people, we do like. Because we're so. I don't say descendants.
Hang on, wait. We.
I know. He loves that.
No, I mean us in the diaspora. We're desensitized, so to us it will look like we these people have no culture, but the little things we do in England when we're living here is part of the culture. You won't realize it.
Yeah,
because we're living in it, and also there is an underlying thing of this is like we're most of us are from the Commonwealth, and we look at the history of the country and how it was built on stealing from our culture, and even you know things you say about tea, how the British people love their tea.
That's
you know,
cultural.
They got it from India.
Well, no, but like, tea is part of English culture, basically.
Yeah, but it's from started in India.
I know it's stolen, but
so they have
culture.
Culture
borrowed from
they borrowed everyone else's culture.
You can do.
No, but that's what I mean. I don't feel like white England has culture that is exclusive to white England.
Yeah, then.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, England. Yeah, I think the Scottish do.
Like, they're not English.
What do you mean? Like what? Have you seen the man in there?
The skirt.
Yeah.
I mean, cool. English people.
They mean it.
I just said Morris dancing. You know what they wear? They might wear shorts and stuff, bruv, and have like the flary shirts on that and they skip with it. Like, just because you don't see it, doesn't mean it's the people did.
Nah, you can't call a Scottish. You call someone a Scottish person English. You mistake them for English.
What are you going to do to me?
Hey, why is it always going to go violence?
I'm actually Scottish as well, but I don't know enough about
hold
it
on,
to
hold on,
defend
wait,
it. So my mum's half Jamaican, half Scottish.
Oh, you're lucky.
So yeah, swear. I mean,
easy.
Well, I'm mixed race. My mum's actually half and half.
Swear down.
So my granddad is white. Okay at all. My cousins are white. My uncles are white. But I don't know enough about it to like.
Do you get along with them? Like, are they calm people? Like,
they're calm people. But in just in terms of like. Like, if someone asks me, like, when you ask me where I was from, like, obviously, I know why I'm here. I'm here to be black. So let me just say Jamaica, innit? But in terms of, like, representing, like, I would always say, especially when it's something like medical, whatever, my blood type is different. So I'm cool with saying that.
Do you know your blood type?
Your blood type?
I give blood and stuff.
Oh, she does so much for the community.
She brought cinnamon buns.
Black people have different blood to other races.
Yeah, blood types.
Blood types. There's only three blood types. What do you mean?
There's more. Because then you've got like
A, B, and O. That's it.
Yeah, but then you've got the negative and positive, which depends on like your negative, yeah, like, which I think is having to do with your white blood cells as well.
Someone asks you what's your blood type,
and the same with bone marrow. Like black people and mixed race people have different types of bone marrow. So like for people with leukemia, for example, that's why the drive is to get more black people on the donors, because we have such a unique blood type and such unique mixes. The more mixed race people that are coming into this world now. We need to start like factoring up to match up, because if there's only one person that's
match
like
up? What do you mean match up?
As in like
the bone marrow.
Do you need to like be able to find this right person for another mix?
Mating and stuff.
No. After the mating.
Okay.
Yeah, after that. But yeah, it's in terms of like Scotland. That's an app idea. I don't know enough about the culture. Someone
write that down. Edit it out, Harry. I'm out. I have to work on that one.
I don't know enough about the culture, but there is one for sure. That's separate. I mean, it's the same with Ireland. Each of these, like, remember, these are separate countries. We get too used to this whole Great Britain thing.
Yeah.
Great Britain is a figment of our sociological, like, we are like conditioned into believing that it's like one world, and it's not.
You're going deep right now.
Listen, I'm down in diaspora today. We're down.
We're going to jump into a little interview segment we have now. I think we're just talking to Holly now, so we're going to ask you little questions about your craft and whatnot.
Screwed.
No, it's gone.
Okay.
So tell us a bit about what you do.
Okay. So, right now, okay, let me start from the beginning. So I went to regular primary school, regular secondary school. I was academic, very, very academic. And first year of my A-levels, I was like, yeah, I've got this. Results were unexpected. Like, I never experienced
it. It gets like that sometimes.
And then like I was going to do PPE. I was going to be a philosophy student. I was going to be
PPE.
Politics, philosophy, and ethics.
She repeated it.
No, economics. Economics, sorry. And
so what's PPE?
I was going to, that was me. And then after those grades, I was like, hang on a second. Like, you know, when they told you to write your personal statement, like, we will be in uni. It's like, write what you love, write what you actually want to do. And my mum actually was like, Holly, you don't love this. And I was like, wow, I don't. So I went to study editing and post-production for film at Ravensbourne in London, which is like the European leader for digital media, and was super happy. So luckily for me, I came out. I actually, during that time, I started interning at SBTV. So I worked at SBTV for like a year. I did social media there for a year. And that kind of completely, I was already like on all social media, but that really opened my eyes to the power of it, like brand power of it. And then when I finished uni, I landed a full-time job as a video editor for a company, and I was kind of, it was a social company as it was, and then I just left there in November because I was running a blog, which just turned 5. I've been running a blog for 5 years, food blog, thesmallslice.com, plug. And I have basically quit that to be a full-time foodie. So I'm actually launching the Small Size Bakery soon, which is what I've been doing for the last 5 years.
This is exciting information. Yeah,
It's like when you said like creative, I was like, he don't even know the half of it. Like,
shout out to your shortbreads as well. We had some shortbreads.
Yeah, brought some shortbreads
through. You got stuff in the bag. You're gonna give it to me or that?
Listen, let's finish the segment and then we can deal.
So respectful.
But yeah, that's me at the moment. But right now, that's it, kind of. Thing like I've done that freelance stuff like social media here and there based on
what about the podcast
what I learned and then yeah the podcast was a spin-off of the blog where I just started to get into podcasts and no one was talking about what I wanted to hear in terms of within food. It was all those like proper like Delicious Magazine, BBC Food, like all that kind of stuff. Like,
you must try the mushrooms.
You must try the mushrooms, darling. Like, you like talking about food that I will never eat. Like, my first couple episodes of my podcast were like literally talking about like where the best Caribbean spots in London are. Like,
where are they? Just out of interest, not for a friend.
Listen to episode 2 of Table for Two podcast and you'll know, innit?
That's how you plug it. That's SBTV.
But in terms of like, people call my podcast, like one episode came, like, okay, I'll shout him out, Neef. He came on and he said, Jollof rice.
Neef, bro.
Neef York, he's a writer. I know him from SPTV as well, actually. Sure. But he's episode 3, and he came on to basically say, I think the statement was, jollof rice is the tap water of food.
Oh, now what's his address?
Oh, so, but in terms of like,
but when people drop your location, Eve.
I'm bleeping that whole segment out.
But when people listen to it, they know what jollof rice is. If I listen to something and it's like pearl barley risotto,
was that in the title of your thing? Or your podcast?
No, I just called it.
I would
it,
not have messaged. I just called it.
I can't remember. I called his episode, but
that's a right wing opinion stuff.
Yeah,
this is like Kay Hopkins on food.
Yeah, he's the UK.
But that's what I like. So like every episode, there's been an unpopular opinion. Yeah. Like, so for example, on the second episode, the same one we're talking about Jamaican food, that guy there, Donch, he was a DJ, and this was around the time when Wild Thoughts came out, and he's the DJ that refuses to play it. Obviously, maybe not now, it's kind of died down anyway, but at the time, he would refuse to play it. He's like, I don't like the song, I'm not going to play it. It's like, I like the unpopular opinions, I like what people bring to the table, and that they're talking about things that they know about.
He didn't like Wild Thoughts.
He didn't.
There is a different guy.
I mean, okay, episode 5, I think, Relic the Don, he's a represent radio presenter. His thing, he came in with
guests on her podcast, bro.
Tell
us about your most recent guest.
Oh, okay.
Like, tell us about that one.
Okay, wait, Relic's opinion, I don't know if you guys are going to know, but Oxtail, his thing is Oxtail is trash. And he and the reason he says that, which is probably linked to the title of this podcast, he says that oxtail is slave food.
Yeah, it is. But most of Southern America, it's not South America, it's in LATAM, but like Latin America. But as far as like most of their food does stem from like the leftover.
Yeah, that's exactly
food
his point.
Is based off, like, jollof rice is based off quote unquote poverty.
Yeah, what you had.
Based on what? Sorry,
it's based off poverty.
What you had left, like what
that,
what you
it's
could
like
make,
rice,
you had.
Tomato, onions, like little staple things people, everyone has in the house.
Life gives you lemons, make jollof.
But okay,
that's another potential title for this.
That's a t-shirt. That's not a title. Yeah,
my most recent guest, yeah, on the podcast was Benjamina from the Great British Bake Off.
Can you imagine, bruv? A whole brick.
Are you? Yeah. How was
from,
she? What
last
did you
year, we listened to the episode 9.
She's so well at plugging.
SoundCloud.com/ the table for teapot.
Yeah,
but no, that was honestly like a dream come true. Absolutely amazing. We met up before, so that wasn't the first time I met her. Like, but all the conversations that we had the first time, we could basically just carry on having again and again. And it was just like organic. Number one, she's 100% people's. Like, you feel like when people are on the TV that the BBC edit them to the BBC's
vibe. I could
like,
tell that she wasn't really like how she was put on the TV.
Like, it's not that she wasn't like that, but on the TV, she just came off like, just like, they all do, just like normal.
They rub you down, like, take away like.
Yeah, but she's coming here to talk to me about the same things, like unpopular opinions, like, we're vibesing about jollof. BBC are not going to put that out there.
You got some jollof agenda on your pocket. What's your jollof rice?
I don't even know. But just like little things in terms of like her work that she does. Like, she came on the podcast and was talking about like her work with a Christian charity. Yeah, Christian charity, Compassion. And like how that linked to food, how like, you sponsor a child, and it links to basically how a child that's sponsored eats, how a child that's not sponsored eats. And that was all work through like being a Christian. BBC never told me she was a Christian. And a podcast I interviewed her as from the BBC or from Delicious Magazine or from Olive Magazine, I'm not going to tell you she's a Christian either. So it's like, that's not what I want to hear. So
give us the link.
I just make what I want
to
hear. So my podcast,
we'll add it onto the description later.
Yeah, that's literally, the charity's called Compassion. And I think the tagline is, I think it's like, feeding children in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Bro. Amen. Like,
yeah.
But like, I just wanted to make.
I'm listening, bro.
He's listening. He's listening. But yeah, that podcast was an amazing opportunity, and I'm taking a little break at the moment while I work out all the bakery stuff. But the next kind of like pool of guests, I'm just like really trying to one up the previous. But when you're just so gassed off your own achievements, you're like,
I was gonna say yes, but I think that ship sailed.
No, but yeah, literally, no, everybody
she
eats.
Me, she was doing when I saw the guest, I was like, she humbled me to the core. Bro. I was like, man, Great British Bake Off, like, those people don't come like for anyone.
Yeah,
you but you say that. But you just asked.
I'm getting a lot of emails and DMs, Ed. Anyway.
You just asked.
He tried to get Drake on an episode.
Champagne Papi, yo.
Bad gallery. <Riri.
laughs> Oh, if you got Rihanna. Wait, then there. If you got Rihanna on this episode, Harry. If you got Harry Osama, whatever your last name is, if you got Rihanna in this.
Anyway, man,
locking
the door.
Yeah, huh?
What would you do?
I'll just be drooling. I'll be like,
monkey for shoes, bro. Alligator to wear, bro. don't mind them.
Don't
I've got a question for you. So we've seen you go into writing on the blog. Yeah. We've seen you do podcasts.
I feel like I know where this is going.
Yeah, of course you know where it's going. Why don't you go on YouTube?
Do video. I knew you were going to go there.
Because I saw a recent YouTube video, like I won't say there was like a company that's doing a food program. It's quite a big one now. It's not your lane per se, but it's very similar to what you do. I always wondered why you didn't go straight into YouTube like other people.
I think, like, number one, I love YouTubers, and like, there's a certain niche that I watch, which is mainly just some black girls' beauty. I won't lie, I don't delve into like the food side of things.
Tutorials.
Yeah, like that kind of stuff. Yeah, but it's just because to me, like, I think as well.
I remember Moses the scene on the TV bare. When you
on
let,
the TV,
if you
TV.
Let a girl go on the internet, you're going on your internet, yeah. All you have on YouTube is just make up videos constantly.
Yeah. Oh, but like, I feel like the thing with me is that, like,
listen, I watched them.
No, it's a good, it's good to watch.
Why?
Because they start off, like,
you need to get a girl quick.
No, they start, they start off like, I don't want to use the wrong word, and then they end just. Then, yeah, it's just a nice progress. You know, like them drawing videos that people show on Facebook.
Yeah.
I think it's.
Let me back with, like.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry. Finish
right. No, I think the thing with me is that I kill my passions. Like, I can't remember the phrase. It's like something like don't kill your darlings, or don't be afraid to kill your darlings. It's like a writing phrase where, like, you think you love it so much, don't be afraid to like edit it out and do that kind of thing. But to me, yeah, like, don't be afraid to kill your darlings. I think that's the phrase. And like, even with like editing. Once I got into working for it full time, I was like, this is not what it used to be kind of thing. Like, I used to do photography. I stopped doing that for a little while. I'm trying to get back into that now. I just feel like once I put too much pressure on the thing, I start not to like it. And it's like, YouTube is so time consuming. Yeah. Like, and making videos is really, really like, as a one man thing, I feel like I've done everything that I can do by myself. Like, I record my own podcast, edit my own podcast, everything. That's enough. Like, YouTube, I would love to make videos. But I don't know, do you not think YouTube, has the YouTube ship not sailed?
No, I think, first of all, as I said, we tried some of your treats earlier. And like,
some people tried some.
Let me get,
hold on. Give me the treats, I'm throwing shade.
Yeah, while she digs for the cinnamon buns. I think you should make like you know those tasty videos on Facebook? I think you should make like a video of how you prepare it. Or maybe you don't want people to know.
No, like, I'm not, literally, my blog in terms, especially for baking, like, even the cinnamon buns I've made today, a couple of people have been like, where's the recipe? Yeah. I'm like, I will post it once it's perfect. Like, I'm not worried about that kind of stuff. I'm not, like, everybody eats. Hashtag
so what's,
everybody
what
eats,
sort of,
but like.
So we talked about like your baking skills. So what kind of food will you be selling at your bakery?
Well, I'm basically going to do like anything baked. So I'm going from sweet all the way through to savory. So I've already had a request to master patties. Which
I don't think I've had a good fresh patty, because like the patties I'm used to from like
or like frozen ones, or
now shout out to Bagel King, but like,
or winner of that Caribbean shop,
yeah, but I haven't had a good fresh patty, like a homemade. Okay, you can't see, but Moses' face right now as
he's eating a cinnamon bun.
Says it.
Honey,
no, I'm good, thank you. I'm good. I had the lemon thingies.
There's more lemon thingies as well. They're underneath there.
I'm good.
I'll have a cinnamon bun later. Thank you.
Don't offer me. I ate three today.
I saw on Twitter. I saw her making them. I'm like, oh, she better bring us something.
Wow. It's so funny though, because my friend I went out to dinner with yesterday was like, hey, what'd you do today? I was like, you watched my Snapchat, so you know what I did today. Like, and she's like, so you made lemon shortbread today. Oh, okay.
I swear, where are they?
But no, it would be everything. So I think like my experience so far has been sweet stuff, like cakes. Like,
can you make pop-up?
See, there's a place called Chukwu's. It's a Nigerian tapas concept, and they have this chin-chin cheesecake. So the base,
a chin-chin cheesecake?
Chin-chin.
Give me the address. I'm going
It's
now.
A pop-up. So it's called Chukwu's, Chukwu's.
You're the plug. Yeah.
And chin-chin cheesecake. So the bottom, the base is crumbled up chin-chin.
Well, I hope that's not where the chin-chin is. Yeah.
And then the top is, I think the top when I went, it was like an orange flavour. I don't know if they changed it. But it was literally like the ratio was perfect. And I was like, oh my gosh. But Puff Puff, another guest I had on the podcast, Lope Ario. So she's Nigerian, just dropped a cookbook called Hibiscus. Well, not just, last year now, we're here.
Yeah.
But
we'll do that, you know.
2018. But she's got Puff Puff in the book, and I've got the book, and it's just, I'm scared of deep fat frying.
But
like, I won't lie to you. Like,
Puff Puff is so. Puff Puff is so easy memes. To get wrong, though. Like.
You think? I don't know.
I personally like it when there's a lot more air inside it, where it's not like a hard.
See, Lope's like whole mantra is like I wouldn't say like modern Nigerian, but in terms of like to her own taste, and her taste is probably like. I would believe that. That's
I like a soft
be.
Bite.
A lot of these modern Nigerian people, like, they'll be making jollof rice and like, you know, that little like gourmet thing. Mm. They put in a little mold. I like it on the plate. Pile it up. I want like 10 pop up. I don't want like.
No. I made jollof. I made Lope's jollof, and like mum, I thought it was like really good in terms of like.
What did she put in it?
By the book, Hibiscus is on Amazon.
see the media
the,
training.
Lope Ariyo is the artist. You can grab that. But in terms of, I did it, her method.
Cop
she,
it.
She has two, I think she has two methods in the book, but I did the steamed way because.
You did what?
Steamed
you
it.
Steamed it all off?
Yeah.
Okay, you may have lost the audience.
No, but as in, I'm not Nigerian. I don't
I'm
like.
I'm taking out for your benefit.
No,
you really? Steamed, what, no oil.
No, but listen, no, but.
No, it had, so basically, the oil was
she
still
might
in
be
there.
Up to something.
But I mean, I don't know. This is the thing. So in terms of you're saying what makes a good puff puff, would I make it? I will try.
Yeah.
And then you lot can tell me. Like cinnamon buns.
You're welcome to come back with more.
So what are you lot saying about cinnamon rolls?
Hmm? Yeah, car. Oh, they don't put them. Fine, I'm eating it right now.
Now, when like time scale wise, like when do you reckon you're...
Well, I did a soft launch over Christmas. No. Which is why I was actually at this studio.
Our invite was lost in the post. Yeah.
No, it was orders. It was orders. So I hopefully will... I mean, I don't want to talk too much. Like, I'll slip.
Yeah.
But soon.
Soon.
February 2018 is like project.
February.
Yeah, next month.
Oh, yeah, shout out. So I'm definitely interested in your.
But yeah, follow the socials for all the deets and how
follow
things are
back,
going.
Like, man, follow you your socials. Like, do it now.
That is hilarious. Wow. Wait, she
so you went that bougie one.
How am I DMing you? I must have followed you back.
You're not leaving this place to follow me back. Hey.
I'm searching for you right now.
I was looking at the door, you know.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow.
You know what you did. Don't
pretend. I'm really sorry.
Don't say wow.
I lied, you know. Wow.
I'm sorry. Am I not following? Can you please vouch that I'm following
him? You just
pressed
it now.
No, I didn't. Check your notifications because it's not there because I already followed you. Oy. Check the order of your followers. Trust me, I'm way down.
I'm
Harry's on like a mobile, you know. He's not.
I'm not Adobe. You will not reach me like that.
Shout out to Adobe. You know, it's a new year. I hope she has a new phone.
Oh, good luck with your exam, by the way, Adobe. Everyone's
yeah, good luck. There. Yeah.
Who's Adobe? The other host.
Oh.
See, you lot all had me like spun on the first episode because you were like AJ.
That was him.
Yeah.
South London.
Yeah, I had to turn it down because I didn't want to say, you know, too much in the podcast, you know, because people.
But then who told you that you? Everyone shared it on their social media.
Yeah, program. I literally clocked. I was like. Wait, I told everyone to listen. I said it was me.
This is my podcast. Your name on everyone knew you were.
Yeah.
We're gonna jump to Flow TV. Money Mo, tell us about your platform.
You ready?
And what's in the bag?
Alive.
Yeah. What's in the? Do I need
put
to be?
Put the bag with the money in the corner of the room, bro.
What do you do? It's just my laptop from work. Anyway.
It's golden crusted.
What's wrong with you? So Flow TV, we're quite new, to be honest. We launched in November now, actually. But it's an idea that I had from June. I actually had the idea from watching, you know, Not For The Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tiny Temper, Not For The Radio, watching it. And they're talking about how when it comes to like artists, you're on like soul, if you've got like a rule. I can't remember what artists he used, to be honest. But he made an example, like if you're kind of in that kind of scene, and like you really want to plug yourself, you haven't really got a platform to kind of like sell your music out there. So obviously you have like artists like obviously Stormzy and Giggs and 6ix9ine and stuff, and they will have that kind of platform like SBTV, Graham Daly, Link Up. So if they want to release a music video or plug their EPs or plug their albums or mixes or whatever, they've got that kind of platform to do so. So I feel like if it wasn't for like Graham Daly, SBTV, Link Up TV and such, people like Stormzy, 6ix9ine, Section Boys, all these guys, they wouldn't have reached the heights that they reached if it wasn't for these guys. So when it comes to like soul, like real R&B, neo soul, spoken words, jazz, these type of artists, there's like some sick artists like in the urban scene. I've already like worked with a few of them, like Glory Nades, Naya and stuff. Lizzie B Soul also is also like giving me good support as well. Like these guys are proper sick in it, but like they haven't really got a platform to really like plug themselves. So
that's what I thought I would do. When I heard about it, when I had the idea, it wasn't something I was actually going to do myself, but then I think he'll kind of like, why not? So kind of like got the name together, got the, which was long thinking about, to be honest, but got the name, got the logo and stuff, and then I was like, okay, let's have a launch party. Had a launch party, and she didn't come too hurry.
I was real recording the podcast.
I don't care. Snake.
We had cool. places to be tonight, right?
It's but true.
Yeah, here we are.
I was even outside waiting for you for a good 30 minutes.
You gotta talk. I'm editing everything out if you cost me something.
Whatever. But anyway, you had a launch party. We sold out, which was really good. We had Glory Nade, Emmanuel Speaks, Omar. Not Omar from Backchat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he came down. He could sing as well. It? Yeah, he could sing as well. I didn't know.
Sing.
Yeah,
sing.
What you don't know is that Harry was meant to perform, not just attend.
Yeah, it was to perform for the for TV, but you know.
I got a stage fright.
What stage?
Don't worry about that.
Anyway, so yeah, we had Omar, we had Danny Bosey, and yeah, Glory Nade, Daisy, Poet, and Naya, who's kind of like an ambassador for Flow TV. So they all performed, and it was a really good night. Really good night. So yeah, right now just building up the platform on YouTube. Obviously Flow TV and YouTube, we're bringing out some few videos coming out in a few weeks. We literally just started launching Behind the Rhymes, which is kind of like where artists will come and speak to have an interview with Layla and kind of like talk about their music, their... What are you writing down?
I'm trying to take your idea. That's a good idea. I like that, bro.
I'm going to take my idea.
Write it down.
Anyway, so
I got you.
Mind you. Anyway, so Behind the Rhymes, basically, so artists come through, talk about like their past, talk about their journey in music, talk about what they want to do in the future, and then there'll be like a there's also a kind of like a solo showcase at the end of it as well. Well, at the start, it depends how the video flows. We're releasing Glory Nade's one in a few days as well. So that was recorded a few weeks ago. So. Yeah, man, just trying to build a platform. Obviously, Flow TV, official. I tried to do what? Plug in. Official FTV is on the show, on socials, on Instagram and on Twitter. On Twitter, it's official FTV _. Cause
I think it's got a high ceiling. Because when I think of every single, like, I think of every UK subgenre of rap, I can associate it with a platform. Like, but there's none for like neo soul, jazz. There's
there's only a couple in the world, bro. We've got Colours.
Yeah, which is incredible, which shows that there is a market for it.
Mm. They're in Germany, aren't they?
Yeah, they're in Berlin.
Berlin, yeah. Yeah. They're doing well, though. It's like some sick
video. Their aesthetic is.
Okay, wait, just a quick question. Flawless. Do people go to Berlin for it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just go to a coloured room anywhere.
I don't know how they do it, to be honest.
Or you could go a green screen.
That's what they do, because they match the colour to the outfit. It's crazy.
You could do a green screen in London.
Not always.
Green screen, that looks like Dulux paint, bro. Looking
yeah,
very
that looks like Dulux colour paint.
No, I think it's Paul. I think it's Keed.
Is it
really?
It must be. Because the I think it's the Ray Black one.
They get artists.
She's wearing like a very particular colour and it's perfect. Like, it's. I was like, there's no way they didn't pull that from her.
Is it Melia or Mahlia? Hers? She's
Mahlia,
a red,
yeah.
A red top.
And
she's got
blue.
Background.
That outfit she wore in that video, bro. I saw her live at a concert the other day, bro.
Hoxton Square Button.
No, she opened for Golden.
Mahlia is.
She was cold, bro.
Amazing.
Yeah, she's good.
I emailed her, she aired again, but.
Yeah, man. Man dropped her email as well.
She aired as well.
Yeah. Do you want me to try?
You're a legend.
I mean, yeah.
Why not? Obviously.
I've got either.
No problem whatsoever.
Yeah, bro.
Ain't what you know, okay?
And you give me blue tick. Like.
Yeah, man.
And I see you rapping.
Actually, I got.
On site for some of you, man.
I got some for you.
Is it?
Got some for who?
I like that. For me, what's your problem?
This is a music podcast. I know, hello. Like, bring it to me first, then.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, obviously, we do a lot of things. We do like the music videos as well. I got Sound Engine. The team's quite small currently, though.
Sound Engine, yeah.
Yeah, my Leon, actually, Jamaican guy.
Hey.
Yeah, he's my Sound Engineer. And we got Ivano, who does like the recordings for like the videos. He's an amazing recorder and mixer and his.
A videographer.
The way he could put like the videos together.
What are you hiring? Like?
Am I hiring?
Yeah.
I'm always trying to grow the team.
I'll give you my CV when we finish and just pop me outside. Like,
so. What can you do for me?
Huh?
What can you do for me?
What can't I do for you? I can post, I can edit.
Edit what?
Sound.
Sound?
Yeah.
I don't think you got the job, Harry. Yeah. So where do you see, like, in 6 months, like, what projects do you have? So you talked about the rhyme.
Behind the Rhymes. Yeah. So Behind the Rhymes is something I'm going to keep doing that season. So it's one first of season one. We're gonna do all them in studios.
Yeah.
I kind of like the studios watch. It might even
shout out Jukebox Studios.
Yeah. So, as far as the platform, I know it's the early stages, but are you trying to break artists, or is it more about having a platform for the established neo soul artists?
No, I'm trying to break artists, but yeah. I'm trying to get all the like the new guys to
see
a level where they should be.
Yeah, kind of,
to be honest. But I don't want to make it as if like I'm managing people.
You might as well drop your email.
Take a step back when you try and say, oh, I've got an opportunity for you to do this. Try to think, oh, if I let this person give me this chance, it's like they'll have a stake in what I do.
I heard that's true. Because I'm not trying to do that. Because even we have like Glory Nate, her voice is sick. Check her out. Because her voice is like a Lauryn Hill kind of a reef. Her voice is just so, it's deep, like strong kind of voice. And she has a manager called, I can't remember his name, but he's a proper cool guy. But all she needs is a proper platform. And I'm sure in like a couple years, she'll be up there. But they just need that kind of platform to make sure that they have consistent music. It. And not even just that, like collaboration as well. Graham Daly and SBTV and Lickup TV, whatever, like they allow you to collaborate with each other.
Yeah.
Because obviously you see music, oh, my guys has released a song. Oh, you can message him saying, oh, can I do something together? Yeah.
But
so with
over, like,
the same thing,
bro. You hear artists, some people have a lot of
what pride and or
It depends. I think that stubbornness, 100% agree.
When you're on
especially
the
from the level. Inside.
Mm.
So like people who like might be, I'll say mid tier in the UK.
Mm.
If there's an up and coming artist, you might be wavy. They might help you go to the next level.
Yeah.
But they don't want to use some of their shine to promote this person.
But the thing is, I feel like when it comes to like the soul and the real R&B or spoken words,
that's what
not, no one's really like there. Well, you got Jacob Batch, you've got Shaka, Ray Black is really getting there now as well.
No, you got soul. There's
gone.
Dan Caesar.
I don't know who that is.
There's a lot of neo soul artists.
But I mean, at that level, like where Stormzy's hitting.
Well, no, but the people you mentioned aren't hitting where.
That's my point.
Shaka's like the way he's Shaka's bass, so I'll defend him to the grave. But
Shaka's wavy, but he's not on level.
No, but in terms of like his that particular like sound that he has, he's already been able to cross over into the other people's lanes.
Exactly.
So he's done the SBTV thing, he's done the GRM thing because he's latched onto those artists. Whereas I think, I don't know, but I feel like you're trying to keep artists. You don't need to cross over. Like this is your lane and own it. Like don't feel like you have to go onto. Don't feel like you have to. You know, don't feel like you have to like get into the work with an artist that's on SBTV for people to know who you are. Like this is where you're supposed to be.
No, but there's that as well. But like I don't personally think that it harms you to do so as well. Because I feel like the difference between America and the UK is that in America they collaborate best.
Mm.
Like you got Jeneca doing tunes with what's that guy called?
Swae Lee.
Yeah, like they literally collaborate so much, but in the UK it's not that.
What I'm talking about.
Not
is
that
it
prominent,
pride,
to be honest.
Or is it like what?
I just don't know. Cause even in America, like you have like the NBAs will be with the sports guys. You know what I mean? You have Drake at the.
But remember, like how like big that. America is. It's like there's such a large pool of people to collaborate with.
No, but
true, but the scene isn't that larger than the
like
UK
a lot
ones.
Of rappers will put out a video, yeah, that could. If the song had a hook on it, it would be excellent. But they'd rather just spit bars for like 3.5 minutes rather than get someone to sing a hook on it. The people, only a few people in the UK really do quality hooks, yeah, because they're given the shots. Like Hailey, J Haas, most that people like that. Oh, there's so many guys that can do hooks on songs for you. People would rather have a song that's a minute, just bars, with no. That's you're making music, but it's not a complete song.
But I think the
Nines
lack of collaboration.
Does that well.
Nines,
he finds good artists to sing hooks.
Yeah, I don't think the problem to have like, to mix the two, because obviously like Ray Black, she had a song with Stormzy and. Wretch 3-2.
That's the first.
Wretch
3-2
is just different though. He's on.
He
can do what he likes. He's
just sick.
He's just sick.
Yeah, are the ones who have people doing complete songs and hooks on there.
Yeah, true. Yeah. But it's even that guy that Wretch had in his album as well.
Jelani, that one.
Nah, he's good as well though. But Koji Radical.
Oh yeah, Koji Radical
is so cold.
And he's just on. He's just different.
He's the guy.
He's doing bits, bro.
Yes, he's in South. No, he's in South Africa right now. Johannesburg doing a tour there. He's doing bits.
And he can make music and do spoken word, like you know.
Yeah. And he's deep, like that song.
Yeah,
the one.
Deep.
What's
the
song on the 4:32 called? Talking about racism, how he didn't know he was black until he was 14, and because how people actually
that's
saw him.
I
know how deep that is. Yeah. I didn't know I was black until I was 14 because of how people asked. Like he's so
that
deep.
That took a minute to resonate.
Yeah, he's just deep, and even people like in terms of like spoken words, like
Solid
Emmanuel
Bates.
Speaks, like he's deep, and he's actually doing quite well to be honest. He has He had like a the New Look advert.
Yeah.
He had like a he was a spoken word to that as well. So they're doing their thing, but they need to get to that
that level, like, and they could get to that level where like Stormzy and
they're breaking new ground, spoken word artists.
They are.
We don't have premier like spoken word. Like,
we don't.
So
I think the first song was Drill the Poet.
They're setting the levels.
Yeah,
Drill the Poet was the first one, I think.
He said about.
He put a song out. Like a few years ago,
I haven't heard it from him. I think the last one I heard from him was the Mercedes advert.
Yeah, he was doing a couple of ads.
He's
the one that kind of switched on a lot of people, like commercially.
And that, people, that was on Link Up TV.
Yeah, people like Solly Bricks doing spoken. Yeah. Solly Bricks been doing it for like a decade. I was in like year seven. He was coming to perform at our school.
I know the name, but I don't really know the work.
So people were doing it slightly, but then when it gets viral, when you bring social media into it now, people like George the Poet broke the ground. Mm. But then because it's such a, like a new thing for us, anyone who elevates it is breaking new ground, as opposed to rap where the level's up here and people try.
But it's a numbers game. Like no matter what, like I was gonna say before, like in terms of collaboration, like collaboration across the board. Like in America, they'll work with a different like video artist every single time. Whereas here, we've got
Kaelin Daniels.
We've got
shout out my boy Teezy. He does the visuals for Link Up TV.
Yeah, we've got literally like, but there's literally like a small pool of people that everyone wants to work with. Like
yeah, my Bangles as well.
Yeah, Bangles like
a very cool producer though.
Amazing.
But they, I feel like because that person triggers the numbers, it's actually the smaller people that only want to work with the bigger
America,
people.
They did in America.
But there's so many more.
Yeah, it's true. But it's
that's what I mean.
Smaller nation than that.
That's what I mean. So I feel like here,
I feel like the scene isn't in America isn't that large than it is in the UK.
No, it's much larger.
How?
No, it's not even the city. It's the number of people.
You can name more rappers than you have like major in the whole UK, bro. Think of Atlanta. Atlanta's one little.
Right, Chicago.
Commercial, like Claire.
What?
Yeah, but what's commercial to us is what we see as commercial in America and what they see as commercial here. I think that's a big thing that
like,
we keep miscommunicating.
Young Thug is a star, like, regardless of where he goes, he's a star.
Okay, but Skepta went to America, he'll get love as well.
The Skepta?
Really?
That's cool.
Mainstream.
Shaka wouldn't.
Skepta would. Do you know, see his the last
album
he released?
Giggs will many. Now. Giggs
Skepta
is coming up there.
ASAP Rocky, that didn't do numbers.
I'm not talking about this, I'm talking about him. He went to have you seen his documentary that
he
went Skepta had a song on Drake's album. That's what
I mean, and gigs as well.
Like, half the UK scene is in Australia right now, but that doesn't mean that like they're.
I'm not saying that, but
celebrities.
They are clear to be honest. But I'm saying if he went to America, he would get love. They would know who he is.
Yeah.
Same thing with Stormzy.
He'd sell out a show.
Even Chip, they would know who he is as well.
No, but Chip has songs with Trey Song, Chris Brown, and whatnot. He was the first black artist in this.
Born
lane,
a
yeah.
champion.
No.
Huh?
Tempo was the first.
Who did he collaborate?
Kelly Rowland.
What song is that? But True Say is Time Temple had a song with Rich Free 2 and J. Cole as well.
Who did?
Yeah,
it's cool. Oh, he's out the album?
Yeah.
Or mixtape it was actually.
But I'm saying like Chip had chart hits, it was in the charts.
From Transition?
He had that
Transition
song.
Was kind of a failure, you know?
Yeah, that trust song with Meek Mill, the Pizza Boy. Hey.
That
was
people didn't remember his name, but we won't get into that.
That was Mavada.
No, Pizza Boy.
He had the one.
Mavada couldn't remember his name. Not Meek Mill.
No, Meek Mill couldn't. That guy, what's Tips? You know Tip is like T.I.
Yeah.
Because Chip was something like, oh, what's his name? I did a song with that guy. He
that's Mavado.
No, it was not. Trust me, it was because Youngin brought it up.
Youngin
when they
took
had
it.
Mavado.
No, Tip.
Bro, it was
in the Youngin diss, right?
Yeah.
Mavado, not Meek Mill. Oh my, I can bet you guys this bag that has a lot of money in it. Wuzuk, it was Mavado.
You take the bag.
Say your statement.
No, I'm calling the police.
Cool. Nah, cool.
I remember his day one, it was Meek Mill said, oh, I did a song with Tips, man. Like, what's his name again?
Wait, do you mean that this where Youngin used like, the backtrack of that's what him actually saying that? Oh,
yeah the interview.
It was Meek Mill.
Or Mavado.
It was Meek Mill.
Or Mavado.
Stop arguing with us.
<It's not laughs> no, it's all right. I can win a diss. It's called Clive. Not Clive, that's the other one. That's
Lil Clive.
That's the reply. I remember the whole thing between Chip Youngin and
the
other guy.
Just for the benefit of Moses, yeah, I'm gonna put a little excerpt of Meek Mill saying he doesn't know who thing was. Yeah,
it's not Meek Mill with Mavado, man.
Okay,
it was Meek Mill. Now because you know he did the video clip as well. The video clip was going around as well.
It was Mavado.
It wasn't Mavado. We can't.
It was Mavado.
It was
because all Jamaicans are the same to you. Here we go.
Meek Mill not Jamaican.
No, I'm saying you're saying Mavado. Just
No, he was saying Youngin.
But listen.
So I spoke to Moses.
Meek Mill is a criminal.
TV
deserves to be in prison.
A few months ago, we had a little.
Oh, no, but I like his music.
Starbucks,
man. It should be like
church.
A...
Oh, yeah, we did, didn't we?
Yeah.
Let's discuss that for a second, though.
What? Starbucks?
No, the whole.
Moses doesn't have
no, because you just made a good point about Meek Mill being a criminal.
What?
And
you made that point.
I just said free Meek Mill, and she said, but he's a criminal.
Oh.
Listen, I like Budgie Banton's music, but he committed a crime and he'll do the time.
Yeah, so why do we have that double standard? Are you really trying to find the interview? Big
actually,
man, he said Meek Mill.
Wait,
it's enough now.
Okay, let's wrap it up for him first. I think you. I'm talking about you. I'm trying to.
Oh, sorry, bro. Go on. Land.
I think I'm wrong,
you know. He said, "I
think I'm wrong." I'm doing
this. Yeah, you get the bag. Yeah,
it's a bit long.
I go.
Yeah. So when you first told me about it, I think it was around the same time. I spoke about the podcast to you as well.
Yeah, you did.
It was weird because we were both talking about catering to different things that people might not really talk about, speak about. So I thought, what is this guy doing? That inspired me. You asked me what gave me the push to go ahead with the podcast. It was speaking to you, actually.
I was trying, man. You're welcome, bro.
I was like, if he's going to pull the trigger, I might as well. What am I waiting for? That's when I shouted you, Jonathan, and shouted Lume and Adobe and Benjamin.
I would not have done this if you didn't tell me. I wouldn't have done this if you didn't give me the push. Huh?
You had a radio show at uni.
Yeah, but that's uni, though. That's okay. Not...
That was a good radio show. That was my soccer AM, bro. I loved it.
Put some lovely music behind that. That was nice, man. Cherish that, man.
So Moses had his launch event. The guests he had on that, the people he had performing were mad. I was like, ooh. So then we had to ask, get Moscow Music. So we had to set the level. So I have to get someone to do numbers. It was crazy, bro. I had Omar from Backchat. When he told me Emmanuel speaks, I was gonna have a heart attack, bro. I was like, how did you get him?
And he's so down to earth, you know. Emmanuel speaks.
How did he respond to emails? Just messaging.
Yeah. He got management though, but he was so cool. He's quick as well. You don't have to play games.
I think 2018 is the year of artists, yeah. Needing to tell the management to accept opportunities that are good. Because I can write a whole page proposal and certain artists' management won't reply to it because they don't know the name. Sometimes the name might help you numbers wise, but to help build your craft, you might have to work with other people.
Yeah, it's true. Because even with Emmanuel Speed, I don't know if I can say this. I'll say it longer. Initially, he managed to charge us.
I hope you're not talking fees.
I won't say fees. Charged us one fee to do it. And then, obviously, we were from a free event because obviously the first thing, they want to be like, oh, let's charge £10 for what? We don't know who you are.
Money on the door, though.
Yeah, but no, it is. This isn't about money, though. That's the thing. It's not really about making profit. Mm. So, I didn't really care about I didn't mind making a loss, this kind of thing. So, I was trying to get everything free. And he was like, no, it's cool. Literally, reduced the amount by a third.
I think that's what.
So he just wants to.
That's the same. Yeah, he's cool that's the same with the podcast. I was struggling for music to go with it. I was like, what am I gonna do? I don't want copyright issues. And then I spoke to Blay Vision. I was like, I want Halloumi skit. I was like, this track is perfect. Halloumi, the cheat. I mean, it's about cheat and that kind of cheese. But yeah. I went to him on a level and I was like, how much does it cost to license this? This is what I want to do. If I can take it for 10 episodes or 20 episodes, what's the licensing fee for it or whatever? And he just understood. I pitched the project. He understood the project and he was like, have it.
I can't lie. I'm having some licensing issues right now. We're going to try and resolve them at some point in the future.
Can you imagine?
I've been getting emails. Anyway.
Really?
Have you really?
Yeah.
Are you going to have to PBL that?
What's the PBL?
Wait.
Throw it back to York Law School.
Wait. Harry, we need to discuss that at some point because.
Yeah, I was trying to record a jingle for us. I'm trying to get some people in the booth to, you know.
But it's like when artists recognize what other artists are trying to do, and when you're the receiving artist of it, man, it's a beautiful thing. I don't think you understand how I was jumping up. When Benjamin Nessish was coming on the podcast,
it surprised me.
I told everyone. I texted everyone. And they're like, Benjamin, who? I'm sending them a picture. You know who. And even with Blaze, every single time, I'll shout him out, I'll give him love. Every time he's dropping new music, I'm like, because the gratitude that you get being the smaller person in that situation, the feeling is.
I'll be typing out emails thinking they're not going to reply. Why don't I bother? Then when you get the responses,
you're like, wow.
Some people are actually willing to work, which is good.
Because even, we was in the exact same situation actually with our promo video. We had the visuals there, but we wanted a 6 songs to go behind it. But we didn't want to have corporations as well.
Was that original music? It wasn't it?
It was Naya Kemen. His EP, It's Your Love. One of the songs for that, he literally just sent to us use it. And he's been the ambassador for FTV since, and his voice is deep. It's deep, if you have any emotional issues in your life. And you play a song, you're crying.
Talking to artists on a level, I did hour and a half marathon 2 years ago, and I wanted to make little vlogs. That was my first into YouTube. I wanted to do first little vlogs about my training, and because I was doing it for a charity. And I reached out to Shaka's management, and I was like, "Can I put Shaka's track on it?" They were like, "Nothing from the current EP, but anything before that, you're good."
Do you know what? Yeah, I've noticed that.
I was like, "Thank you." Thank you.
If I ask permission to play something, you're calm. If I ask, oh, can we feature a bit more in depth? Now they start being, we don't really trust you enough. So you have to like earn people's trust.
You know, I emailed Sheka's manager as well. I didn't get replies.
I didn't get a response.
Speak to her. CC her. CC her in the email.
Yo, you welcome to the team. You're not.
Yeah, welcome.
I'm in here.
You catch her on the table for two next week, guys.
Yeah.
Honestly, no, but guys, like, shout out to anyone that of your listeners that's listening. Literally, everybody eats. Okay. You don't. It's weird because until you start digging with someone, you don't know what their opinion's going to be like.
I thought that was a pun.
I'm saying that everyone eats. Like, if you want to be a guest, if you want to come through on table for two, come through. I mean, it's only two, so one at a time. But like, come through. Oh, it's like, literally. Yeah, it's two, literally yeah, two people.
Oh, so okay.
So like. Everybody eats topics. And in terms of like the music thing, like I feel like people don't even know what music they're like listening to until that platform's there.
Mm-hmm. You are now logged into the Down and Diaspora podcast.
We're gonna jump into our, I think it's our final topic. It should be. Can you shut up? Our final topic should be, it's about creatives again, because we said it's like it's our creatives corner kind of feature. So everyone here said they went to uni, right?
Yep.
Yeah. But everyone here has a creative hustle, either on the side or their main thing. Some people, like Harley said about her mum asking her, is this really what you want to do in terms of uni? Or in terms of doing PPE?
Yeah.
I feel like parenting has a big effect on whether or not you pursue your dreams.
Mm. Yeah.
So in terms of parenting and your creative endeavours and other people's, do you think that pushy parenting can inhibit someone's dreams, or do you think it's for the best?
Fam. Okay, can I ask a question? So, I think you may have mentioned earlier, but where's your mum from?
She's half Jamaican, half Scottish. So, her mum is Jamaican.
So, half...
I know.
I think the heart... I, honestly, because... the name of the show, which I can't say. I can't pronounce, rather. like, our parents came here. Most of us are second generation immigrants. Yeah. And their measure of success and their measure of, like, progress is a university degree and a graduate job. So, when you tell your mum that you want to start, like, baking, or if you want to start, like, a music platform as a full-time hustle, it's hard for them to understand. One, because in their generation, that just wasn't an option. So it's hard for them to understand. So what? I came all the way here. There's a funny joke.
Why you to do music?
I came all the way here. I floated here on the door with 4 bitcoins for you to now. for you to now not like stray from the plan that I've set out for you. Like.
Yeah. No, I was just gonna say. I don't know if you landed with the question.
Yeah.
But
I mean, just as far as parents, like, do they support you when you say you want to do something more creative?
Like, my parents 100%, like, from the get-go. And, like, without sounding, like, too big-headed, what I wanted to do, I was good at, so there wasn't an issue. Like,
jeez, come on.
If I... No, but it's like...
What sounds like I want to do rappers, but
You know what I mean? So it's like, my parents, their confidence in me is only as strong as my confidence in myself, really.
That's
so
amazing.
That if I said to them, like, all right, mom, today I'm going to go be a rapper, like, she would be like, okay, but are you going to practice? Like, are you going to work on it? Like, where did you get this from? Like, where did you know what I mean? But she's even like with this, like I said, I've been doing this for years, like baking wise for years. And now obviously they're a bit concerned about the rent. But other than that, they're like, do what you want to do. But what you said though about like coming here, I don't know if this is like a looking back to the like African Caribbean thing, but say for example, I feel like that like I'm graduate thing comes from a line of graduates. Whereas in my family, my mum went to uni when she was like 30. Oh. My gran did nursing, but then she did a master's in theology. But like later in life, like, and I feel like with a lot of my Caribbean friends and Caribbean households, it's not a well. From what I've experienced, uni wasn't like the first thing. It was like a vocational job. Like, and I think that stems back to even like my great granddad, for example, was in the military. Like, it wasn't a uni thing. It was a work hard. It was a graft thing. So as long as I'm grafting, like uni or not, like when I wasn't sure about PPE, my mum was kind of like, what, are you sure about uni? And like, I put the uni pressure on myself. Do you know what I mean? Obviously my parents wanted me to go, but I never felt like I had that. And I don't know if that's a... Because no one's ever told me in my family that I came all the way here.
Oh, no.
Do you know what I mean?
I feel in the African community it's the reverse. So a lot of African parents, from what I understand, went to uni back home or here.
Yeah.
Then the difficulty in the job market forced them, but kind of swayed them into the vocational hard, like 9-to-5 day grind. That's where the thing is. I came here to, I did XYZ, I sacrificed this.
Yeah, because they definitely had dreams. I'm not saying.
And now you want to tell me you don't want to, like.
But do you feel like, in terms of parenting, no matter what, that like parents' guilt and regrets impact? Oh, so like
a lot of parents want to live vicariously through their children. But at the same time, it might not be a terrible thing.
Yeah, my son's gonna play for Arsenal.
It depends, right? Yeah.
You're not serious.
Yeah.
Why would you want that for your child? Okay.
Trust me, this.
Look, you support Man United, didn't you? You have no stake in
glory, glory, man.
I'm really liking this.
Charlie,
don't do this. We just vibes with this. Anyway, I feel like it's different. I think it depends. I think it needs to be a balance because I personally.
Yeah, you did both, so speak to us.
I'm doing both currently. So I went to university, did biology, and now I work in a tech firm. So there wasn't really a connection to what I studied and what I'm doing now. I feel like majority of the time there isn't really. Unless you're doing like medicine or law. You don't really go into what, and even then, sometimes like. But I think in general,
was there a shift because biology that's very specific?
I wanted to do biology and do a conversion course to medicine. That was my plan
because you wanted to become
a doctor.
Okay,
yeah. So I planned that from.
Did you want to, college. Or did mummy want to?
No, I wanted to become a doctor. Like literally, I wanted to cut people up as a surgeon.
Wait, so what was the though. Was there like a particular that thing that happened that made you say nah?
It's gonna sound bad, but I don't care. I'm very money driven.
Money mo, that's why we call it money mo, bro.
Anyway, okay. As a biologist, first of all, you're not gonna make that much money.
Like the most lab
basically, yeah, or okay. going to teaching.
Marine biology.
And I respect teachers so much, but yeah, there isn't much to go into. So if you go to become a doctor, you'll get all right money, but I'm talking about being clear. Doctors aren't really clear.
You're talking about the house on the hill. And
yeah, so.
The big algae. Oh, wait, you already have that.
So more of anyway. So that's why I looked into consultancy because I knew I could literally create a life for myself. It wasn't really for me to have money. Like when I grew up, my parents didn't have much, so I want my family, everyone around me, to have
stable
like, what they want. For anything, yeah, so it's not like selfish gain. It's just it's more like bless me so I can bless others kind
just
of thing.
Security, yeah.
Yeah. So, but I think it's also a male thing as well because I couldn't be in a situation where. Let's say my business is thriving, but I'm not making money. As a man, I don't think I could do that. That's why I couldn't quit, because I work in a tech firm. I couldn't quit my tech firm and then be like, I'm going to do this full time until making that kind of the same.
Faith, bro. You can weigh the risk.
There'll be a point where you're thinking, okay, cool. Like, yeah, you can make that switch from working in your career to literally focusing on business. And obviously I'm a man of faith, so me, I would pray about that. But like, I couldn't just make that jump straight away. As a man, I couldn't do that, personally.
It's a big risk, bro.
It's a big risk. I feel like, I don't know why, but I feel, this might be sexist, or sorry for female listeners, but I feel like females can do that a bit more.
We're about to fall out, basically.
That's a short bit at you.
No, but I feel like, I don't know, but I feel like,
I hear what you're saying, because I understand.
Females are more inclined to take that kind of risk. As a man, imagine me in a, okay, imagine you met a guy and you're probably different.
So what are you saying about her?
No, yeah, I thought she'll be like, I don't care about that. But imagine you met a guy, and then he's making no money.
She's about to shock you, bro. ask her the question.
Right, cool. You're making no money. Yeah.
He's making no money.
You're making no money. But his business is, he's working his business and he has like,
then I don't care.
If he's got dreams,
I don't
care
because he wants to do something. So I know if he's sitting at home not doing anything.
Like, I think most girls would say that.
Okay, fair enough. Me and it, basically.
No, but like, I understand.
I'm going to die alone.
I'm just saying, as a man, okay, me personally, I just couldn't like.
I understand what you're saying, and I understand why that's like the male mentality. I'm not saying it's the correct thing to think or to do, but I understand what you're saying. But as well, I think it's like the leap of faith, like the difference in the leap of faith is like, well, from what you've just said, the difference between like my leap of faith and yours, like, I have no money right now. Like, and it's not that it doesn't bother me. Like, I'm money driven too, but I think it's because I was at the stage where I was unhappy chasing money that now I'm like, you know what? Let me just be happy and broke because there was like a stage where I feel like if you're like happy,
I'm unhappy and broke.
Like, do you know what I mean? But it's like, I feel like it's because then, yes, women are more inclined to make that decision to be unhappy, to be happy but broke, whereas men wouldn't make that decision. I don't think it's the whole like deep of faith thing. I think it's at the level after that, whereas like the actual principle behind your actions.
Jumping from a full like day job into your creative like field, there's risks involved in terms of if you're creative, the money you get one month might be so much you might squander it all.
100%.
And the next month it might be quiet or overdraft for you still.
100%.
So
but as well, like, I think when you look at my leap of faith, like, it wasn't actually, like, it was a leap, but it wasn't that drastic in terms of, like, what I found when I was at work, at my 9-to-5, was that I was just constantly working on the other thing.
And it weighs down on
you. And it weighs down on my job. So then I wasn't getting bad at my job, but I was getting lazy because I didn't want to be there anymore.
For me, it's the flip side.
So it's like, I wanted to do it. So it was more like, look, it's got to the point now where it's not even a leap. Like, these things are taking 50% of my life. If I just step over, then the scale just tips that side. Yeah. The same way it's been tipping up this way, it's just gonna start tipping up that way. Like, and it didn't feel that drastic in terms of, like, oh my gosh, where am I? Money-wise, yeah, of course. Mm. But, like, in terms of my parents, obviously they've been supportive. My mom's had to give me money already. But, like, when she first asked me, she was like, do you need money? I was like, hold the money. Because there's going to come a time when I need the money. Yeah. And, like, that time's coming. Because, like, it's been a couple months. And Christmas was good in terms of, like, I got loads of clients. But that really only paid back what I put in. But in terms of, like, the support from my parents, like, it's coming. And, like, even I was going to have a launch event for the bakery this weekend. But mom's away. And I was like, it's not happening without her. Like, it's not happening without her.
Plug it again.
It's not happening without her. But that's not because of, like, a mummy, like, mummy's going to come and do it for me.
She should be there.
But it's just a reassurance that she gives me when she's there, because she's got that detail where she wants me to succeed. Whereas I'm like, this needs to get done. Like, it gets to the point where I'm like, oh my God, this needs to get done. And my mum's like, but we're going to do it well. Like, do you know what I mean? So it's like, no matter what it is, as long as I'm grinding and as long as I'm focused, she'll back me. Like,
the thing about your situation, yeah, that I'm seeing is that you have a good relationship with your mum.
Like, I'm my dad.
Like, your dad, yeah. Family. So with me, not have a bad one, but it's like, mums don't know what I do like that.
Same.
Like,
really?
All she knows I started something. All she told me is that don't do.
You know, mate, you struck a gold mine.
Because you said your parents don't listen to the podcast.
I do think, I yeah.
Huh? Your parents don't listen to this podcast, either.
My dad listened to it a bit.
I'll say this, as far as relationships with your parents, like, we talk to our parents, yeah. I say African background, but like,
on that deeper level,
you don't talk to them like a friend.
Yeah, your hopes and dreams. Uh-huh.
Like, yeah.
I would want that relationship with my
I mean, I could with my mum,
but are your parents, were your parents born here?
No.
See, okay.
Yours was? Mine were.
Floated on the, that's the thing. I think there's a difference there. Because, like, even, like, my grandma, for example, like, she's passed, but I know if I was trying to say this to her, like, she'd be like, yeah, sure. Like, but how are you going to make money? Where, like, that definitely would be that. I think that first generation, that, like, I came all the way here thing, my parents didn't come all the way here. They were born here. Do you know what I mean? So they have that from their parents, 100%. And I do get that sometimes, like, not in those words, but, like, get that vibe of, like, hey, like, look how far we came, kind of thing.
I don't think I ever had
But
that.
I do think the first generation, that second thing. Generation.
Wait, what didn't you think?
I might be done, so I'm gonna go press the endocrine.
Sure.
I've answered.
Anyway. Yeah, what did you just disagreed with something?
Yeah, I don't think that, well, in my family, I don't think it's about that whole I came on a boat kind of thing.
No, but I think the relationship with your parents about, like, the generational thing, I feel like, because not necessarily they just came here, but they're still finding their life here and you're trying to find yours, and their concern is not watching you, their concern is watching themselves.
I just feel like the relationship was just different, like, because me and mum were cool in that, but, like, When I started it, she knew I started it. Jeffrey told me was that don't make Illuminati songs or something like that.
What?
Your mum knows about the Illuminati. She's been on YouTube,
thing. Yeah. Don't do anything like that.
So,
like,
Lumi, as a writer, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How does all this relate to what you want to do in your craft?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't anyone say this in the?
I think touching on
decoration. She's not been speaking.
Shut up. Touching on what you said about pushy parents, I think they can make you doubt yourself quite a bit.
Yeah.
So my parents, I'm studying script writing for film and TV, but I want to do a master's in criminology. And if anyone asks my dad and my mum, they'll be like, she's doing a master's in criminology, and they'll completely ignore the writing bit because they think that that's more academic than what I'm doing. So they have I've had to teach them to support me. The support never came with my parents. I had to teach them how to be supportive, and they had to learn.
Quite a few.
How about you?
I kind of had a little bit of that, but that wasn't non-support. That was that was just non-understanding in terms of like, when I say I'm doing editing and post-production because I want to be an editor, whereas my parents would be like, oh, she's doing film.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then they're like, oh, is she going to be like on movie credits? And is she going to... I'm like, no, like, I'm going to edit hood videos. Like, like, no, do you get what I mean? But their understanding of like that skipping thing, like, oh, she's doing film. Like, no, I'm not. Like, I'm not.
So, Dan, I've got a question. Now you come to the room. Go ahead. Like, that's our podcast. You do the whole creative thing, like music and whatnot, yeah, very well. But what did your parents think of it when you first told them? Or if you told them you wanted to do this kind of thing?
Did they know?
am I allowed to be brutally honest?
Yeah, be honest.
Yeah.
My mum kind of just let me do what I wanted, not do what I wanted, because she was still quite strict, but I was a bit of a tearaway. So
we've heard the stories on Fruition.
Yeah, so as in I was a criminal, yeah? So I was, I was a full on criminal. So as soon as I'm doing anything
other than
crime, and I wasn't like the kind of primitive criminal. I was like,
I heard your words in Thailand,
yeah,
bro.
Oh yeah. I consider myself a cultured criminal. Like, I'm not a wrong'un. I'm not a wrong'un at all.
Wait, can you define that?
What's a cultured criminal?
A cultured criminal, I've heard that before.
So it's like,
you must take a seat.
Wait, what's a cultured criminal?
Well, I believed, yeah, I didn't like crime, like drug dealing and stuff like that. I feel like it's a bit destructive. So I liked to work in
numbers,
the grey areas.
With numbers.
What's the grey? That
fraud.
Yeah, that fraud, yeah.
No. No. Dabbled, obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously as well. But like, weird stuff. Like, realistically, it's mad. Like, one of my, you see, like, growing up, we all had bicycles, yeah?
Yeah.
The chances are these bicycles weren't from the shop and didn't cost £500 or whatever.
Allegedly.
So it started when I bought my first bike. Probably I was like 15. Not my first bike, but first one on road.
Yeah.
I bought it for £5. It was a Brompton.
You bought a Brompton for £5.
Exactly.
Okay.
So when I found on Google, and I'm just like, hold on, this was £800. I went on eBay, and before you know it, I started sending people out all over London to lick bikes. High price bikes.
Mm.
And it went mad, like, as in people were licking from Tour de France. Like, as in, like, these bikes are now worth more than cars.
Yeah.
But they're not an illegal product. And they're insured 9 times out of 10. So I just felt like, it was a chop shop for bikes, basically, isn't it? Like, but so just all of that kind of stuff. Yeah. As in, even if I got nicked or anything like that, I had it in my head that for you to prosecute is going to be quite difficult because you have to prove that I knew I was doing wrong,
yeah,
and that it wasn't handling stolen goods or that blah, 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 blah. But yeah, so I kind of like always like had a plan, not to be a criminal forever, but just to raise some capital, build studios, do some, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, but like, I'm crime free now, innit? Like, I haven't done crime in many years. Criminology. That's it. But yeah, so as in, yeah, the plaque's at home now. Someone cracked it, so I had to go get fixed. And yeah, but
Western,
yeah. So my dad, you know, my dad wasn't, when I told him music and stuff like that, he was a little bit like, no, just do flipping whatever. It's not an office. You don't wear a suit to it, so it can't be.
That's my mantra in life, though.
But
like,
my mum, you know what? He just needs something to keep him out of jail.
Mm.
And that, yeah, did it like. That's it, really. Like, it was something I was good at, and I had already created the business plan without even knowing it for years because people were coming to my house and making mixtapes and stuff like that. So I already had the target audience. It was kind of like quite a swift transition. Mm. But yeah,
that's what I was saying about like knowing your skill and your parents recognizing that you're not just taking a jump. Like, they actually are interested in this thing.
Yeah.
Like, and they're good at it. Completely different to when your parents are like.
Parents aren't designed to get it, really. I probably won't get it in 20 years. You see what I'm saying? And when my son comes to me and says, I'm going to be some blah, blah, blah. Like,
but
I might have
forgotten.
You're more
likely to because, first of all, you're born here and you see that it's possible because you did something unconventional.
No, I'll definitely try to, but I know how much time can make you forget about what you were, because our parents were like rebellious at 20, whatever, as well.
Yeah.
And like, we're doing, following, chasing their dreams. So, but somewhere along the line, you forget
Like, and you
become and we don't even know what's uniform. Coming. Like, the jobs that we're doing now or that we've done, like this,
gonna,
this didn't exist. Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, our kids are going to come out and be like, Mum, I'm going to space for the weekend. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, we don't know. Like Mum, really I'm going to intern on the moon for the next couple of weeks. Is that all right? Like,
for real,
I'm gonna be like you, yeah, what, mate?
It's a cool when you land, bro.
Like I came all the way here for you to go to the. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, the mentality we completely changed. Yeah. Like, I'm shook to be a parent.
Yeah, man. Let's wrap it up. It's been a good episode. Thanks for coming, guys. Do you want to plug your socials one more time?
Harley Land.
Okay, so my name's Harley. My Twitter is at the Harls. T H E H A R L S Z. I'm not a bad man. Just. The S was taken. I have to say it every time. It just looks so like. And then the podcast is called Table for Two. Table for Two Pod on Twitter, SoundCloud, and iTunes. Table for Two.
Lovely. I'm Moses Mo FTV on Instagram. That's Mo Mo _ FTV. YouTube channel is Flow TV. Instagram official FTV, and on Twitter it's official FTV _. Which FTV was taken as well.
I'm sorry, I even forgot my main hustle here. The Small Slice. Wow, I forgot who I was. You guys put me under pressure. Yeah, The Small Slice everywhere except Twitter because Sam Pagan has the handle, but I'm dealing with that.
All right, it's been done in Diaspora, whatever you want to call it. Shout out Lume, shout out Jonathan, shout out Harley, Moses, Adobe, Benjamin can be with us. Take care, everyone.
What's up with you? Won't stop loving you. Why you want me to? What's the more to do? What's up with you? Won't stop loving you. Why you want me to? What's the more to do? Tell me what your view is. She from Malibu, she wanna hang out with the cool kids.